The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday. It is December 16th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a winter weather advisory goes into effect this morning at 7 a.m. and is expected to stay in place until 1 a.m. Tuesday morning. Like Preston mentioned, a mixture of snow, sleet, and freezing rain will eventually change to rain across all counties covered by the advisory. There will be a gradual arrival of some light snow before...
Oh, my God! Tornado!
My mom called last night. She's like, I don't know if I should go to work. What do you think? I'm like, I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
It's going to change to sleet and then freezing rain. And then finally, it'll change all to rain. Most accumulation, they're saying, will be on grassy surfaces, a total of about 1 inch of snow or ice. Some farther north could get 2 inches.
Bear watch!
Most roads will remain primarily wet. Of course, there is a chance of icy conditions. It's expected to stay cold with a high of 36, 37 degrees today. The rain will continue with some mixed precipitation lingering in northern areas near the Lehigh Valley and the Poconos. The low for Philadelphia is 35, but closer to freezing in northern areas. Tomorrow, we can expect periods of rain and drizzle through the morning and early afternoon. Some drying is possible later in the day, and it's a little bit warmer somewhere in the mid-40s.
Oh, yeah. If you remember a couple of years ago, we had snow like a couple of days before Halloween. So,
yeah,
we're doing okay.
Early.
Yeah.
Huge flames engulfed two yachts at Seaview Harbor Marina in Longport early Monday morning. In the parking lot, dozens of emergency vehicles stood ready as firefighters battled the flames. Two large boats caught fire at about 1 a.m. Both boats sank into roughly 8 feet of water. They continued to burn even as they were submerged. Coast Guard officials said the boats were about 50 to 60 feet long. Each of them carried 1,000 gallons of fuel, which became a concern for first responders.
A boat fire is the ultimate irony, is it not?
Yeah,
right. It's on the water.
Yeah.
The fuel did leak into the water. Crews blanketed the fuel in foam to keep the fire from reigniting. The Coast Guard said it will also have a pollution response team respond to the scene. Coast Guard officials say the marina owners and the boat owners will ultimately be responsible for covering the costs of the cleanup. Investigators have not determined a cause of the fire. Local fire officials will partner with the Coast Guard for the investigation. There have been no reports of injuries. The Longport Fire Department received help from several agencies, including Egg Harbor Township, Margate, and the National Guard, which brought the foam truck to the scene. The Hallmark Channel will reinstate same-sex marriage commercials that it pulled from the network, according to a company statement sent on Sunday. An ad for wedding planning site Zola featuring two brides kissing at the altar was pulled following a complaint from the conservative group 1 Million Moms. A Hallmark spokesperson previously told the Associated Press that the network pulled the ad because of controversy and that it was creating a distraction.
The ad is a sweet little ad. My problem with is it doesn't go far enough.
Oh, stop it.
I want to see the wedding night.
Honestly, yeah. As Gary Lauer's observed, lesbian daisy chain is awesome.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful, I think with it, those were his exact words, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Most beautiful thing in the world.
Yeah, beautiful thing in the world. So. Yeah. Add to the holiday beauty.
Okay. The Crown Media team has been agonizing over this decision, and we've seen the hurt it has unintentionally caused. He simply said they believe this was the wrong decision. Hallmark Card CEO Mike Perry said in the statement, "We are truly sorry for the hurt and disappointment this has caused." Hallmark was facing some bitter criticism over social media because of the initial decision to pull the ads. The hashtag Boycott Hallmark was trending at one point on Twitter, and celebrities like Ellen DeGeneres and William Shatner criticized the decision. The LGBT advocacy group GLAAD called the initial decision to remove the ads discriminatory and especially hypocritical, coming from a network that claims to present family programming and also recently stated that they're open to LGBTQ holiday movies.
They just announced four or five movies.
Saying,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Why
yeah.
would you do that and then take the commercial off?
Yeah.
But the Hallmark Channel will reinstate the same-sex marriage commercials.
I like the diversity. I think it's cool. But I do find it funny watching the volley back and forth between ultra conservative groups, and then on the other side, they cheer when it's hey, they pulled the ad, all right,
yeah.
And then the other side goes no, and then they put the ads back, yay!
Yeah,
and this back and forth thing that you get to watch from the sidelines,
and I love when there's like infighting between different sides of the group,
yeah,
you know, like yeah, but yeah, that's good, but there's no trans,
right?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
All right, in sports this morning.
Oh! 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 Oh!
The Eagles came back to beat the Redskins yesterday afternoon in Washington, winning 37-20. Greg Ward, the former practice squad player who didn't have an NFL catch before this season, made the game-winning catch with under...
That's not part of my process.
It's running. I can't stop it. It sucks over here.
I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
With under a minute to play, and the Eagles added a defensive touchdown as the game ended. Up next for the Birds is a game on Sunday at home against the Dallas Cowboys, who also won yesterday, beating the LA Rams 44-21. The Cowboys and the Eagles are both 7-7. If the Eagles win their last two games, they will win the division. But if the Eagles lose to the Cowboys on Sunday, they are eliminated from the playoffs. The Sixers lost to the Nets last night in Brooklyn. Spencer Dinwiddie scored 24 points as the Nets went on to beat the Sixers 109-89. With Joel Embiid sitting out with an upper respiratory illness, the Sixers did not have much of an answer for the Nets, who scored 64 points in paint. Ben Simmons scored 20 points. Tobias Harris added 17 for the Sixers, whose five-game winning streak came to an end. The Sixers are off until Wednesday, when they'll return home to play the Miami Heat.
You're looking at the color of the court, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it throws you off a bit. We're watching highlights of the game.
Video footage of them, of the Sixers playing, and the Sixers are wearing, you know, their red uniforms, and the court is, it looks like a black and white screen. It looks like they colorized just the players out on the court.
Wait, did they dim the court or not?
No, it's a different color.
Yeah. That's how it is?
Yeah, it's a gray court, color. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that's kind of wild looking.
It makes the players actually look like video game avatars.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Makes them stand out. Where was that? I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Wow, okay.
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
That is.
And the Flyers lost to the Jets last night in Winnipeg. Winnipeg scored four times in the course of just over 4 minutes in the second part of the second period on their way to the eventual 7-3 win. Flyers are back home tomorrow night with the game against the Anaheim Ducks. And over the weekend, the Flyers announced that 23-year-old forward Oscar Lindblom has been diagnosed with Ewing's sarcoma, a rare bone cancer, and is not expected to play this season. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thanks, Bunch, Kathy. Welcome back from the weekend, gang. We have an exciting week planned for you as we have the Christmas Miracle live broadcast taking place on Thursday.
Magical.
At Parks Casino. Why don't we go ahead and invite three people right now. Take the first three callers who think they know a thing or two about our show.
It's a Christmas Miracle! Yeah!
Can you be there Thursday morning, nice and early, before the sun even comes up, and get yourself set to maybe be picked out of the audience to get up on a contestant's row and win some fabulous prizes from the Preston & Steve Radio Program and WMMR? Let's get you here. You need to be at least 21. You can bring a friend. That friend's name will not go into the giant hopper of names that we have to be chosen for the contestants row portion, but we do have other prizes that we will be giving away to everyone in attendance, so let's have you get on board. And we have I'll make sure we get plenty of opportunities between now and then. Wednesday, obviously, we'll wrap up doing the giveaways. But, it's a fun event, and we're looking forward to it once again. A Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition, so make sure you wear your ugly sweater.
I love that room, too. The Excite Center. Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
So we have that to give away. We also have a new Word of the Week prize, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see the Struts December 29th at the Fillmore, and a signed copy of Young and Dangerous on vinyl, and a pair of tickets with meet and greet passes as WMMR presents Greta Van Fleet on December 30th at the Met. So that'll be two nights in a row, you go into two great shows, and you actually will get to meet Greta Van Fleet, which is pretty cool. So that's Letter of the Day, Word of the Week prize. So listen up for the letter at the end of the program. Keep track, and we'll give that away on Friday. Guest-wise, our buddy Greg Fitzsimmons is going to be on the program. He's giving us a call. Greg's normally in the studio. We actually haven't seen him in a while because he keeps planning shows at comedy clubs when we're on vacation.
Yes.
And he's going to be at Helium next Friday, not this Friday, but the 27th and Saturday, December 28th. So we'll talk to Greg because he's a good friend of the program. Otherwise, we're just,
it's all things holidays, all things end of the year, all things end of the decade.
Business as usual, as I was about to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a lot. So we're going to take a break and come back in a second. Stupid question. We got prizes for you and lots of stories to pass along. So stay close. We'll be back in just a moment.
Like what you hear? You can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So for the stupid question, we have a four-pack of tickets that you can win as the Wings are going to be playing the Warriors at the Wells Fargo Center for an exciting home opener on Friday, January 10th. If you can answer this question for me in Home Alone, what is the name of the filthy animal movie that Kevin watches? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to this. All right, what is the name of the filthy, keep the change, you filthy animal.
That's caught on.
Yeah.
I see it all over T-shirts now.
Yep.
And something like that.
215-263-WMMR. You're in the ballpark,
in the
Casey,
ballpark
with your answer, but not quite. Let's see if somebody can get that correct. So we'll go to birthdays while we're waiting for your answer. It's Monday, December 16th. Billy F. Gibbons of ZZ Top, a big birthday for him today. He is 70 years old.
70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And one of the longest running three-piece bands that still together, believe it or not. And they play the MMRBQ a few years ago.
And people were thrilled to see them there. I appreciate them. I would not say I put on ZZ Top, you know, when I'm listening to music, but when something comes on, I'm always glad to hear it.
Yeah, anything, especially before they got into Sharp Dressed Man and all that, which is, it's fine.
Good stuff, yeah.
It's fine, but the real, like this, the real good bluesy stuff, whenever it comes on, I'm like, oh yeah. ZZ Top. I forgot.
Yeah,
so Billy Gibbons is 70 today.
Are they Jesus Left Chicago, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
What a great song, man. Mm-hmm. And Pearl Necklace and, Tube Snake Boogie. And, I mean, there's just so many good songs.
I think one of my favorite songs of theirs is probably one of their least ZZ Top-ish is the ballad of, is it Rough Boy?
Oh, Rough Boy! It's a cool little ballad.
Yeah,
I love that song. Actually,
is it just called Rough Boy or Ballad of Rough Boy?
No, it's just called Rough Boy, but it is a ballad.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm a rough boy. It's very slow, and it doesn't sound like them really. But I know the song, Steve. Yeah. So Billy 70, Benjamin Bratt.
I like him.
Law and Order and Miss Congeniality.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, that's correct, yeah.
Catwoman with Halle Berry, the big movie bomb.
He is 56 today.
He's also on Modern Family. Very funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes celebrates her 78th birthday today.
I wonder if in the bathroom at 60 Minutes they do have a Leslie Stahl.
A Leslie Stahl.
Right?
They should.
It'd be a perk, right?
In honor of her.
She's a top-flight journalist.
Yeah, this is the Leslie Stahl. Flo Rida.
Now you're talking.
I remember the first time we talked about Flo Rida on the show. None of us knew who he was. We thought it might have been Flo Rida.
Yeah, or we just thought it was Florida.
I thought it was Flo Rida.
Yeah.
And I thought Flo Rida was a woman because of, Flo being a name. Florence, Flo. Flo Rida, but no, it's Flo Rida.
Little could we have imagined that he would outsell the Beatles with a long and illustrious career.
Oh, wow, did he?
Yeah, not really.
Oh, okay. He's he's 40 today, Flo Rida. Then you have William the Refrigerator Perry, who is 57 today.
We talk about this all the time. When he came on the scene, the perception was this is sports has reached the maximum. No one can get this big and play. And now he's considered nothing.
Yeah, they're all that big.
Yeah.
He was only 6'3".
Yeah. I mean, there are tight ends bigger than him.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
You're right. 57 today. Benny Andersson, who is of the band ABBA. He's one of the four people, one of the four Swedes that formed ABBA, 73 years old today. And they were, in the 70s, a force to be reckoned with. They sold a ridiculous amount of records.
Did you fly over his estate or something? Or
well, it's actually just a couple of streets over from where my wife's aunt and uncle live. So, we've walked by there several times. We just go out for a stroll.
Yes.
In Stockholm. And, it's his house is it's out on this small little island. I mean, by small, I mean there's a walkway that goes out to it, and it's on and a little island out in the water. It's pretty neat, and it's not gigantic or anything that.
He's a multi-millionaire.
Big time, yeah. But Benny is 73 today. Miranda Otto from Lord of the Rings and War of the Worlds, and I meant to look her up. I forgot.
Was she also in Newsroom?
I don't know. Miranda Otto. Oh, I know who she is. So from, I forgot which Lord of the Rings movie she was in, but she kind of... The third. She disguises as a guy, as a warrior at one point. Yeah, I think the third one, Steve.
Yeah.
You're right, yeah.
And she was on Newsroom.
She's 52 today. Two other birthdays. Kristen Ritter.
Love her.
Yeah, she's great.
Listen, not that you will, but if you ever do.
Jessica Jones. Yeah.
Is great. All three of them are great.
And she was great in Breaking Bad. She had a story arc in that.
She was, I don't know if she's still with, but the lead singer, guitarist from The War on Drugs, which is a Philadelphia-based band.
I thought you were going to say Warrant.
No.
Wow, War on
Drugs.
Rocking and rolling.
So, I mean, they obviously has Philadelphia connections. They, you know, sort of formed here.
At least, if
you remember, Elise Brown, her husband was like the drummer on the, you know, an album and stuff like that. They won a Grammy. But she used to be, or and maybe is still with the lead singer from that band.
Okay. She's 38 years old today. And then I'll bring up this last one. It's Theo James's birthday today.
Theo!
That's the only reason I brought him up. I was hoping to hear Theo. In the Divergent series, he played the male lead in that. He was kind of the boyfriend.
Yeah, I watched the first one, watched a little bit of the second one, and it made me regret watching the first one.
I liked the first one.
Yeah.
And then it just kept going, and I was
a society like that's that complicated. I'm a Divergent, you're Detergent, you're Resurgent.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was interesting.
These are the optimistic people.
I think I might enjoy the books.
Probably.
More so than the movies. But he is celebrating his 35th birthday today. Theo, happy birthday.
Theo!
They should have had Cosby and Divergent.
That would have been great, right? Yeah.
Where's the detergent for the sweaters?
Happy birthday, everybody. I was even get an answer to this question. In Home Alone, what is the what's the filthy animal movie? 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Erica, see if we can get an answer. Hey, Erica, how you doing?
Hey!
Erica, do me a favor and tell me what film in Home Alone I am talking about.
Angels with Filthy Souls.
Yes. The movie within a movie. Angels with Filthy Souls. Hang on a second, Erica, because we are going to give you a four-pack of tickets as the Philadelphia Wings face off against Vancouver Warriors at the Wells Fargo Center for an exciting home opener. And that's Friday, January 10th. You can experience nonstop action, fun for the whole family, and enjoy dollar hot dogs, by the way. You can get tickets at wingslax.com. I am going to read this as I was finding a question this morning, and I did a quick search on that movie within a movie. There's a whole, there's an article on the making of that movie.
That movie within the movie.
Just the Angels with Filthy Souls. And I'm intrigued to go and read about it.
So the title is a riff on Angels with Dirty Faces, which was a classic crime, you know, movie. And, but I love the noir look and the whole thing. So, you know, they had to film all that stuff, obviously. It wasn't pre-existing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they had to create that, and created this little cult thing now, which is great. Get your no good yellow keister
off my property.
Off my property, by the way, or I fill you full of lead.
Since we're talking Home Alone and Macaulay Culkin, we should probably reference Uncle Buck.
Oh my God!
And that clip, which was so last week, somebody had sent to me, and I tweeted it out, retweeted it, which was the picture of Stallone as
Home Stallone. Yeah,
but there's one that it's equal. Which is from Uncle Buck, that rapid fire question Q&A that he has with Macaulay Culkin. They did the same thing, except now it's in video form with Stallone's face answering.
I fell in love with it. I couldn't stop watching. Have you seen it yet,
no.
Casey? You need to see. You can't hear it.
Is it Macaulay Culkin's voice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's him. It's him going, you know, where's your office? I don't have one. How come? Because, you know, and, you know, that rapid fire back and forth. It's so funny because his head doesn't move during the shot, and they can very, very easily place Stallone's face on it. It's great.
I just love the fact that Stallone put it on his own Instagram page.
He did.
Yeah. He loves it.
He loves
it. He has to love it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so speaking of movies at the box office, number one was Jumanji, The Next Level. No surprise there.
Right.
Just over $60 million. Frozen 2, still in there at number 2.
Powerhouse.
Followed by Knives Out. Richard Jewell debuted at number 4, as well as Black Christmas at number 5. Then you have Ford versus Ferrari, Queen and Slim, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood was number 8, followed by Dark Waters, and then Bridges rounded out the top 10. I'm going to start with this. Lawyers for women who have accused Harvey Weinstein of sexual misconduct, including rape, are slamming a proposed $47 million settlement of claims against the Weinstein Company. They say the deal gives too little to the victims and too much to Weinstein's lawyers and possibly Weinstein himself. All told, $25 million has been set aside for victims. $12 million has been earmarked to pay for Harvey and Bob Weinstein's legal costs. The remainder will go to directors of the Weinstein Company and insurers of the Weinstein Company as well. Lawyer Thomas Giuffra of the proposed deal said, yeah, I think it's an outrage. Douglas Wigdor, a lawyer for 3 Weinstein accusers, said this is the worst settlement I've seen in my entire career. He said it's a complete disaster. It leaves very little of the victims. More than 30 women have formally accused Weinstein of abuse. Some women will likely receive $500,000 each, but for other victims and future claimants, it's unclear how much they will receive. Meanwhile, TMZ reports that Weinstein has bilateral laminectomy surgery, or he has it, I guess, in a bid to alleviate his severe back pain. At a court appearance last week, he appeared to have trouble walking on his own, leaning on aids, and at other times he was seen with a walker. But critics
feel so good.
Critics insist that the back pain is a fake out.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, and it's funny. One person wrote, why do all these old dirty bastards magically become handicapped when their asses are drug into court? Bill Cosby also, as many noted, appeared to develop a more serious eye issue ahead of his sex abuse trial.
He's not the only one. You can go back. They all start to do it.
Yeah.
Remember, who was the mobster who feigned dementia by walking around with a robe on in the dead of winter outside.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I forget the guy's name, but he was trying. Yeah, it always happens.
Meanwhile, listen to the balls, okay?
Okay.
In an interview with the New York Post, after what he said was a 3-hour surgery to remove bone plates, compressing his vertebrae, he fought back against claims that he was faking his illness and then took credit for the advancement of women in the workplace.
Yo, boy!
Weinstein said, I made more movies directed by women and about women than any filmmaker, and I'm talking about 30 years ago. I'm not talking about now when it's vogue. I did it first. I pioneered it. It all got eviscerated because of what happened, he said. My work has been forgotten.
That is a remark that a true sociopath would make.
Right.
Totally unaware of how ridiculous that sounds.
Now, I want to go back to the money thing that we were talking about, how the $47 million lawsuit is laughable, and it's the lawyers that are saying this. And listen, I want the victims to get as much as they can possibly get. But if it's 30 victims and they're only getting $500,000 a piece...
Well, some are getting just $500. Some, from what Preston was reading.
What are the lawyers getting is my question.
There's going to be, they get a chunk. Okay. They do get a chunk.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because if they want to, I mean, if they're so righteous about this, why not take less money, you know what I mean,
well,
in order for the victims to get more?
Well,
it is also their job.
I know it's their
they
job.
They have families, too.
But they are, you know, they want more money. I have a hard time believing that they want more money for the victims. They want more money for themselves. Because the more that the victims get, the more that they get, right?
I don't know. You know, in some cases, sure, they're good lawyers who are working for the benefit of their clients. We've heard stories of shysters.
Yeah.
So I don't know. In this case, you hope that they're motivated by trying to make sure these people get money that they're deserving of. Who knows? I don't know.
I just watched the third season of Goliath, and that lawyer right there, that Billy Bob Thornton, he's a good egg. And we should have more lawyers
like
him.
I watched a show called Davy and Goliath, which is presented by the Lutheran Church.
Was it good?
It was pretty good.
Okay, cool.
Claymation. You remember that, Preston,
right?
Yeah,
but that was presented by the Lutheran Church.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyhow, he goes on to say, Gwyneth Paltrow in 2003 got $10 million to make a movie called View from the Top. She was the highest paid female actor in an independent film, higher paid than all the men. So So he's pointing that out, that he's...
And all she had to do was kiss my son.
Gross. So gross.
See, I'm an innovator. I'm a champion of women. I'll get you that role. Just kiss my left testy.
Kiss my sack.
Come on, you dummy. You filthy animal.
You filthy animal. The criminal trial begins next month. All right, I have some breakup stories for you, man.
You know, we're in that season.
We are.
We are in the season of breakups, right?
Yeah, get it done before the holiday hits. Yeah. Colin and Livia Firth. Colin and Livia Firth have split.
Here's what we do. Let's have Gary Lauer do this whole story and see how long it takes before his jam pops out.
From saying Firth. Colin and Livia Firth have split after 22 years of marriage, a public affair and court case with an alleged stalker as well.
Now, I don't know if you got this, was she cheating on him?
Well, yeah. This happened a little while back. So Colin and Livia, here's a rep, tells People Magazine, Colin and Livia Firth have separated. They maintain a close friendship and remain united in their love for their children. They kindly ask for privacy, blah, blah, blah. All right, so they share two children, Luca, who is 18, and Mateo, who is 16. They were last seen together in September at the Green Carpet Fashion Awards during Milan Fashion Week. Now, this split comes almost 2 years after they revealed that Livia had a romance with another man while they were separated in 2015. Livia, who married the Oscar winner in 1997, claimed that a guy named Marco Brancaccia had stalked her after their relationship ended. is what they said in a statement in March of 2018. So the statement's a little older. It said, a few years ago, Colin and Livia privately made the decision to separate. During that time, Livia briefly had become involved with former friend Mr. Brancaccia.
I was on a break!
The Firths have since reunited. In 2017, police investigated Brancaccia when Livia had filed an official complaint in Italy claiming he was harassing her. He denied the allegations. He told People, the reality is that Livia and I have known each other since we were youths. Then in 2015 to 16, we had an 11-month love affair. After it ended in June of 2016, I never called her again. I did send her two WhatsApp messages, one happy birthday text message, and an email to Colin, the latter, which I truly regret. He was charged with stalking after police reportedly found abusive messages and emails on Brancaccia's phone during the investigation. That case was settled out of court in July 2018. So that's old news. Mm. This is they've just split up.
So so it's just a follow through. But we are to believe then that Focaccia was the one.
Focaccia
was the one that she was having this relationship with.
Yeah.
When things got a little heated, accusations of stalking came into the scene. Okay, got it now.
Yep.
So now the Firths are getting a divorce.
That's right.
A divorce. That is correct. Now, another divorce story. Mad Men star Christina Hendricks has filed for divorce from her husband of 10 years, Jeffrey Arend.
Now, since time began, we've looked at this relationship and said, what?
Mm-hmm.
Because she is
I don't remember what he looks like.
You know, she's basically Jessica Rabbit incarnate, and he's nothing against him, but what?
She filed paperwork in L.A. Superior Court on Friday. Hendricks listed April 19th as the official date of separation and is requesting that the court terminate the ability to award either person spousal support. So they're officially splitting up.
He's in the movie Devil. You know, it takes place in the elevator.
Yeah, he was in something else as well. And
500 Days of Summer?
Yeah, that's what it was. You know, I look at him and I go, hey, good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
You got 10 nice years job. Of that.
Yep.
Yeah. Enough now.
Scarlett Johansson hosted SNL for the sixth time and addressed her engagement to SNL star Colin Jost in the opener. She joked that the pressure was on to perform well. And she said, what are they going to do, fire my fiancé? And then she said, oh, no, what are we going to do without his paycheck?
She's a good host.
She is very good.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I did see the teasers and stuff leading up to it. She's funny.
I am, though. Again, there's a little bit of, really, those two? Because she's, you know, she's a nuclear reactor, and I like him, but he's, it seems a little weird. But, hey, maybe that's the beauty of the relationship.
You know, a week or two ago, Ryan Reynolds was on Weekend Update with Colin Jost, and Ryan Reynolds used to be married to Scarlett Johansson, and now Colin Jost is engaged to Scarlett Johansson. I wonder if that was weird at all.
I wonder if they talked about certain things.
Well, look what he got.
Yeah. True. I think he's doing okay.
Everybody wins in the end, I guess.
Absolutely.
Actress Sally
Field. Just ask Colin Firth.
Actress Sally Field was arrested. Never thought I'd hear that. At Jane Fonda's weekly climate protest at the U.S. Capitol in D.C.
Yeah, she was completely drunk.
She
save the planet.
She was throwing
save
bottles.
Save the planet.
She and 26 other demonstrators were put in cuffs after she said the time is now to act on climate change. So they took Sally.
Hey, her whole climate action has got some. That doesn't work.
Nope. Friday's protest was the 10th executive protest that Fonda had organized. So she is.
We're here. We're climate. Get used to it.
Yeah.
No. I'll get back to you.
All right. A 23-year-old Sophia Hutchins and 70-year-old Caitlyn Jenner have been sparking romance rumors for a while. 23 and 70.
I know. Okay. This has been years now, so I wonder when they started dating. I'll pick up after school, sweetie.
Yeah. The pair live together, but Hutchins insists that they were never romantically involved.
She's trans as well, yes?
I don't know anything about her.
I believe she is.
So the New York Times, she tells the New York Times, Hutchins has taken over as Jenner's manager. She says, I saw nobody was managing her, and there were all these people taking a massive advantage.
Manage me hard. Yeah, with three fingers.
And I was saying, Caitlin, if I don't step in here and start managing you, you're going to go broke.
You are a little treasure. That's what you are. You're a little angel from God.
Hutchins takes 10% of Jennings' earnings, by the way.
He's not going to go broke. His daughter is a billionaire.
She's not. Yeah.
Caitlin?
Sorry. Yes. She's not going to go broke.
You are so insensitive.
I am.
I am outraged.
Yeah, don't worry. You'll always be okay.
Your daughter is a billionaire. Your 23-year-old daughter is a billionaire. And by the way, your other daughter, I think, is back with Ben Simmons.
And that's actually true.
The rumor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's been spotted. She used to sit courtside. Now she's up in some luxury boxes or whatever.
Okay. All right.
She's in Gritty's box.
She sits with Gritty?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. That'd be awesome. She's keeping a low profile.
Yeah.
This is great, isn't it?
Squeak, 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 squeak.
The Queen of England is looking for someone with creative flair who can maintain her presence in the public eye and on the world stage.
I know someone who might help her.
Who?
Tekashi 69.
Oh. It could include leading a small team of media specialists to cover a state visit or royal engagement in a way that appeals to social media users, young and old. The family's new head of digital engagement. That's what they're looking for.
Positions so they're looking available. Okay, an online footprint, so to speak.
Is being offered between 45 and 50,000 pounds, which would be in the $100,000 range, I guess.
Yeah.
Or maybe a little bit more than that. I'm not sure. Working 37 and a half hours a week, Monday to Friday. A job advert shared on LinkedIn and the Royal Household website says the role is about knowing your content will be viewed by millions.
Yeah. Well, with her first Out of the Park project, she wants to do something where she plays video games and comments on them.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a Twitch thing.
Yeah. That'd be great.
I'm trying to help Link get into the castle.
The Post said it's about never standing still and finding new ways to maintain the Queen's presence in the public eye and on the world stage.
Hi, I'm Queen Elizabeth. I'll be playing Fortnite tonight.
This is what makes working for the royal household exceptional.
You have to be, though. You're under incredible scrutiny if you're the one who's handling their online appearance.
The royal family has 4.1 million followers on Twitter compared to 6.9 million on Instagram and 4.9 million on Facebook.
Is she on TikTok, do you think?
I would hope so.
Doing that where she's dancing to the rap songs?
Making little videos.
I'm going to steal your boyfriend.
There's a really cool video that popped up over the weekend of Gary Sinise. It was a... He was shown a video by a friend, and it's loaded with just the top of the top celebrities thanking him for his Gary Sinise Foundation and his work with veterans. And Gary gets really emotional during it. It's really cool. So Tom Hanks was the guy behind the video that did it. Tom is only in the very, very last little bit But he's a guy who got everybody together. So well-known members of Hollywood show up, each with a message of support. With each face that shows up on the screen, it nearly brings Gary to tears. The stoic actor has an obvious soft spot for his side project. Each familiar face has a message of support. Starts with Jay Leno and people like, Tom Allen and Ron Howard and Steve Buscemi and De Niro and General Colin Powell.
Snooki,
no. Aaron Eckhart. I don't have the list of all the names, but it's celeb after celeb after celeb, and it's really touching. You gotta love Gary Sinise.
Yeah. Because he puts so much effort into this. It means the world to him.
Yeah,
he's constantly doing stuff for veterans.
And it's so funny because he's the characters that he's played over the years. He can be this. He can portray this evil, nasty, vicious characters, but he's just the softest guy in the world, you know?
If you see him in his version that he directed of Mice and Men, he's that guy. I think of him that way, that every guy, you know, and he clearly is that.
Yep. Let's see. What else do I have here for you? Caroline Flack, the host of ITV's Love Island. This is, I believe, the version in the UK.
Has
been charged with assault after an incident at her home in London. Police were called to her home where she lives with her partner, tennis player Lewis Burton. A spokesman for the presenter told the BBC, "We confirm that police attended Caroline's home following a private domestic incident. She is cooperating with the appropriate people to resolve matters."
Hey, guys. Thanks for following me on my YouTube channel. Did you hear what happened to the host of Love Island?
Mm.
So she's trying all these different things,
She's doing entertainment reports.
It's her in her bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So this was kind of interesting. Jodie Foster almost played Cindy Brady when she was a kid.
Wow.
The Brady Bunch cast
as
revealed
Nell.
On Watch What Happens Live. Yeah, instead of a lisp,
right.
She can't Nell. Communicate at all. So Cindy, Susan Olsen had a little bit of a lisp, and
Cindy, you can't go smearing your feces on the attic wall. I know it's from where you. I know it's comfortable for you to spread your spore around the house to chase away predators.
Mr. Brady could even communicate. He could really. He could have a moral lesson for Nell, who wouldn't understand him.
Gaya, flah, blah, ta, claw. Fuego, ta, blah.
That's Nell.
Where are y'all going? What?
Now, Nell, where I got ta, claw, claw, blah, blah.
That's her version. That's her version of "Mom always said don't play ball in the house." Steve, play it one more time.
Where are y'all going? What?
Yeah, Mom always said don't play ball in the house. You know that. But apparently, it was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, Maureen McCormack, Eve Plum, Susan Olsen, Barry Williams, Christopher Knight, and Mike Lookinlam were all reuniting there. This is ahead of HDTV's Food Network crossover special, a very Brady renovation holiday edition. Susan Olsen had said that
James Gandolfini was supposed to play Bobby.
That Jodie Foster was up for Cindy. So
entirely different cast, right?
Yeah, totally different.
Do you ever see that clickbait? That's a picture of Maureen McCormack in sort of a seductive shot, look like it's some sort of picture. It's got to be doctored. I don't remember her ever being in anything that was like that.
Okay.
But it always pops up. It's as common as the girl with the stingray lit over her shoulders.
Yeah.
It pops up all the time, but I'm like, this has to be doctored. She never appeared in anything where she was done up like that.
I don't think I've seen that one, huh?
All right.
Then one last thing. Quibi is rebooting the MTV 90s dating show Singled Out.
I beg your pardon?
Quibi. with Hustler star Keke Palmer.
Kiki.
And Sunnyside star Joel Kim Booster as host.
What's that?
The series will drop in the spring. And the original Singled Out featured a group of 50 singles trying to land a date with a single contestant.
I wonder here with this now. So at the time Singled Out was on, this was pre apps and online stuff and TikTok and all these other different ways, of meeting people. What are they targeting, that same age, or is it
Yeah, I think so.
Because I wonder if it's past its time now with all the other options.
I think that the contest
yeah.
portion, you know, the contest right. aspect of it might make it watchable, even though you can go out and meet people in different ways now. But
yeah,
it's just the nature of you know, the back and forth that they have. Because you had to answer questions and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's
on it,
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was large groups.
Yeah.
And then that questioning process would whittle them down.
Yep. It ran from 95 to 98 with Chris Hardwick and Jenny McCarthy as the hosts, by the way.
That's where Marissa fell in love with Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. Right? All right, we're ready to do the clips, folks. In a spinoff of the TV series The Fosters, Callie and Mariana Foster take on life as they move to L.A. together in the series Good Trouble. In this clip, Maya Mitchell talks about the direction that the two head after life with their foster family. Here we go.
Callie and Mariana are now in their mid-20s. Post-college, they're kind of living on their own, Callie for the first time. And so you're seeing them tackle issues, but with kind of higher stakes because they don't really have their parents to lean on. They've just kind of got each other.
I don't think I want to see it.
Good Trouble airs tonight at 9, and that is on Freeform. Here's the next clip. The star siblings, Derek and Julianne Hough, celebrate the holiday season with music, dance, and more.
Ah.
In their Christmas special, Holiday with the Hoffs. In this clip, Julianne explains how this special was inspired by the holidays as children. Here we go.
A lot of people would be like, oh, you know, like, don't make your kids do that. And it's not parents telling us to do it. Like, we want to perform. We want to, you know, share what we love. And so, yeah, it really is just a manifestation of how we grew up and just the fun that we had.
Thing sucks.
She's just delightful.
I love her. You follow her on Instagram?
I do.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
I like her. Holiday with the Hoffs airs tonight, 10 on NBC. And I wonder if this is going to be, you know, sketch fun, goofy comedy moments or something like that. And, of course, they'll do some dancing.
So funny. I hope they do that.
Do you remember ages ago when Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey had something like this?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
And it was real cheeseball.
Well, they took the reality show, which is one of the first ones we were following. We even enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then they tried to port that over to a variety show. Yeah. You're so stupid.
So Holiday with Hoss is on tonight, 10 o'clock. That's on NBC, by the way. All right, there you go. Entertainment Report. Let's take a break. Come back in a moment. Don't forget that we will be giving away opportunities to join us for the Christmas Miracle. It's on Thursday, Parks Casino, Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. I'll tell you when to call in. Get set for that because we've got a lot of great prizes to give away. Our buddy Greg Fitzsimmons is on the program today. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us this morning.
MMR's day off on the slopes at Jack Frost Mountain, Friday, January 10th.
Look out below!
Celebrate winter with the best lift ticket deal out there, along with a Pierre Robert live broadcast and a legendary happy hour with Jackson live from E2000 Lounge. Listen up. We got you a great deal on lift tickets. But the sooner you buy, the less you pay. Now through December 23rd, lift tickets are just $10 while supplies last. WMMR.com has all the details. MMR's Day Off on the Slopes. Sip, ski, and be merry. Friday, January 10th at Jack Frost Mountain from JFBB, where the snow comes first. And 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
So what, you're going to play a little bit of this case?
Well, it's there. Here's the clip of the original,
yeah.
Right? So it's
going
I retract my statement.
Yeah, it's okay. All Pierre.
B-do-dee-do.
B-do-dee-do. And speaking of little parodies and things like that, now I haven't heard this yet, but you on Saturday Night Live, obviously over the weekend, they were doing a lot of
holiday stuff.
Holiday things. Yeah. And they did a version of I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Right. Cecily Strong performed it, and it I thought it was well done.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
I want to hear a little bit of this. All right. So here we go.
That I was tucked up in my bedroom fast asleep.
Is that part of the original? Is that
those are the original lyrics? Yeah.
Right. And then. Then she sees Dad watching
them kiss.
Santa
He's sitting
Claus.
In a chair. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought that he'd be mad, or at least be kind of sad, but he just sat there watching them and only said,
"Not bad."
I can tell that Santa Claus regretted getting himself mixed up in this.
Hey.
He said that he should probably roll, but Mommy said,
"No way, ass."
He had the half a stuff. They did behind closed doors. I couldn't believe my eyes. My mom and dad just killed some guy. Then I realized the chalkboard was just part of the script. And then Santa stood up and thanked them both and asked them if they both were satisfied. Mom and dad said they had a blast and they paid him $1,000 cash and walked into his Nissan Altima parked right outside. I laid in bed thinking about how much I really don't know Mom and Dad. But the weirdest thing I think isn't my parents' king. It's the fact that I sat watching them for as long as I had. I guess we all each have a thing. Mine seems to be watching people's private lives. And at least now that I know, I can keep it.
Oh my God, I love it.
So
love
many it. Of these songs have, you know, if you hold them up and twist them a little bit, look at them, it's like, well, it's kind of disturbing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I didn't realize what that actual song was really about until much, much later on.
Yes, Santa.
Yeah.
By the way, and there was another spoof, I guess they did over the weekend, in case you were showing me, it was a Macy's ad where
it's really good.
It's about parents getting kids dressed up in these ridiculous holiday outfits, meaning just the big clothing and sweaters and
hot and itchy the shoes hurt.
They try to make children look like 50-year-old men and women. And,
it is adorable, but to actually put your child in that, it's ridiculous.
No kid ever wanted that.
No.
It was like binding sweaters and... I remember having a turtleneck on for one thing, and it was horrible.
I found this season at Target, they are jeans, they're actually sweatpants, but they look like jeans. But they look so much like jeans that that's what Jace wears when he wears has to get dressed up.
Do they have those for adults?
But they're good. Like,
would you wear those?
They don't look like sweatpants.
Sweatpants that look like jeans. Wouldn't you wear them if they were completely convincing?
Absolutely.
Of course you would.
And if they're dirty and we have to go somewhere and he has to put jeans on, he has a fit. He's like, where are those other ones?
I may be convinced. This is just a realization right now that my lack of commitment to religion has to do with my parents dressing me up for church when I was a kid. And I remember
that's your memory.
Because I remember trying to wear a tie. Okay, so them buttoning it all the way up to my neck.
Terrible.
Clearly, I needed a new shirt. But now we can get this on.
No.
One more year.
And so, Preston.
Pinching the skin on my neck to get that last.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't.
Buttoned.
You're so right. You can't see my hand gesture. But so what you do is I remember my dad would turn, hold on to the edges of the collar and then turn his wrist in to pull it out.
Yeah.
Why the F do you think I wear sweatpants and T-shirts every goddamn day? I went to Catholic school. So from kindergarten to senior year of high school, I was constricted. I never, ever, ever wanted to feel that way ever again.
And I still have a vision of these horrible... these, formal shoes that they would try to squeeze my feet into, mm-hmm. and lace them up really super tight and go to church in. And the, you know, and you'd slide all over the place. There's no grip on the bottom of those formal shoes.
Yeah. Well, they're basically made of what floor tiles are made out of.
In that bit, they say, and Macy sells black, hard, shiny shoes that hurt.
I'll play a little bit of it here.
The holidays are here, so head to Macy's for unbeatable deals on a winter wardrobe for the whole family. Men's blazers starting at $49.
Starts off like a legit commercial.
Yeah, little ones. Macy's has the festive fashions that'll have them saying,
"It's too hot! Itches!"
Tis the season for wrestling your wiggly little monster into thick winter clothes. So all month long, we're taking 25% off boys' merino wool sweaters that won't fit over his head.
If you stop squirming, it would be on already.
And 40% off cozy corduroys that'll pinch his little nuts.
Can't he just wear his jeans?
You don't wear jeans to church.
And for your little girl, it's half off all hard, shiny shoes that hurt.
Shoes hurt.
Tough to be a woman, Kylie.
Tough to be a woman. Oh my God, it's the truth. And now you'll see obviously the pictures when you take the kids, go to Santa, and if you choose to dress them up like that, it makes the experience that much more traumatic.
Around the holidays and holiday gatherings and so on and so forth, I just get so like I want to pull up my collar.
Mm-hmm.
I will quite often just wear like a holiday T-shirt or something, or so, just because when you're there, it just for some reason you always feel so hot. And you know, we were at I was at a gathering on Saturday night, and people were in sweaters. And why did I wear this? Why did I? Because it's a holiday, and I'm going to wear a Christmas sweater. But halfway through, you realize made a critical mistake.
Yeah.
You're going to die of heat stroke.
I went to a holiday party, and I wore a sweater over the weekend.
Yeah.
Because I never get to wear it. It's an ugly sweater. It's a Maker's Mark bourbon.
Yes.
And I wanted to wear it. I'm like, hey, I finally get to wear this. This is cool. And like 10 minutes in, I'm like, I'm burning up. This is way too hot.
I was going to wear T-shirt underneath. Look.
I was going to wear one of my sweaters, because I have a couple of them. I was like, oh, this would be great. I showed up, the house was super cozy, comfortable, warm, mm-hmm. and everyone was going,
If you're brave enough or stupid enough to go to the mall over the holidays to do some shopping, do you leave your jacket in the car?
I do.
Yeah.
Me too.
I can't stand it.
Yeah, because it's instant sweat once you walk into the mall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll handle the 2-minute cold walk to and from the car.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Just so I'm comfortable walking around for however many hours we might be at the mall.
And I start getting pissed off and agitated, and you know, it usually ends up me punching the Salvation Army guy. So
and nobody likes that. Yeah. You don't want to have to do that.
That bell is so loud.
It's donated already.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll get out, and even though my kids are grown now, my youngest is 12, but the boys are gigantic. They're over 6 feet tall. And we will occasionally go and do the Santa photo just for fun.
You have to.
But we might. I wonder if we'll do that this year.
If you live in my house, we're going for a Santa photo.
Oh, yeah? No matter what.
No matter what age you are.
Do you still do the picture people thing?
Yes, we do. Only we do it with Brian, of course, photography.
Oh, well, much better option.
We'll do our photos.
Okay.
And we'll get that done. But we do that. Yeah, we take the picture every year. In fact, Brian's house is where I was with that hot sweater on over the weekend.
Oh, you made it to the Jammy Jam?
I did make it to the Jammy Jam. He has a pajama all day long party. It's celebrating all holidays together, which is fun. But you should see that bit if you're having to dress your kids up. Hang on a second. Let me go to John here real quick. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. You want to talk about the clothing thing?
Yeah, basically a buddy of mine got married about 5 or 6 years ago around Christmas time. And we went to the mall to get the suits. Of course, they didn't have my size because I'm like 6'5", 385 pounds.
Jeez.
So they had to take two vests and sew them together.
Okay.
Well, when they sewed them together, they sewed the vest to my shirt. So when everyone was at the wedding, everyone takes a jacket and eats off. And, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I couldn't get mine off.
Because it was sewed on. Yeah.
Sewed to the back of my shirt.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
But you know how effing hot that gets, and you're a heat reactor anyway. Your size,
you ain't kidding.
Yeah, Jesus.
Oh man,
Yeah.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it, man. Sewed the vest to the shirt. Oh, my God. Speaking of holiday stuff, Marissa had forwarded this to me last week, and this is at a restaurant called Barbarossa.
Yes.
They are going to be hosting a holiday-themed dinner. They had one on, or they're having one tonight and one on Friday, and it's five courses all inspired by different holiday movies and paired with festive cocktails. So,
wait, isn't that McGrogan's place?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
It is. Yep.
Okay. So they're going to do the Home Alone, Christmas Story, Elf, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and Die Hard all in their meals.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's $55 per person. And the first course is Home Alone. It's a lovely cheese pizza served with highly nutritious mac and cheese. The second course is from A Christmas Story. It's Chop Suey Palace Chinese Turkey. It's a beautiful duck skewers with ginger soy glaze. The third course is Buddy's Spaghetti and Syrup.
Oh, no. My God.
So they're going to do that.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
Gorgonzola Spaghetti, Fig Syrup, and Parmesan Pop-Tart.
Okay, they figure out that
way. Yeah, to do it, because you would develop immediate diabetes where you eat the way he eats it.
Yeah, not candy corn, candy canes, and syrup, and whatever the four basic food groups are. The fourth course is from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's Eddie's Roast Turkey and Aunt Bethany's Green Jello.
All right.
And it comes with the Jelly of the Month Club Bread, too.
I love it.
And Moose Eggnog. And then the fifth course is Die Hard. It's Nakatomi Twinkies.
Oh, cool.
Now, the second Die Hard takes place during Christmas as well, does it not?
Yes, it does. Yeah. That's correct. So both of them,
yeah.
Do I need to
kind
back
of Christmas movies?
So I got to go back and watch that because
the second Die Hard is really it's really good. To me, they both have the things that make them successful is that there is that sense of claustrophobia.
Okay,
because they're trapped at the airport and they've got he's getting around and it has some really badass action sequences in it.
Yeah, I think this is probably an unpopular take, but I think Lethal Weapon is a far superior non-Christmas movie.
Okay.
Then Die Hard. Okay. I know.
No, Lethal Weapon's great. I give the tick to. I remember the first time I saw Die Hard, and first off, I was up in Rochester, New York, doing stand up, and there was nothing to do during the day, so it saved my life seeing that. And then Lethal Weapon was great as well, but Die Hard just gets a bit of the edge.
I like them both about the same regard.
Yeah.
So I'll split the difference between you guys and be the peacemaker here. by the way, I did see this list from BuzzFeed. It's 17 characters that are essential to Christmas movies.
Uh-huh.
So if you're going to have a Christmas movie, most likely you're going to have one of these characters in there.
So in relation to this, my wife and I play the Hallmark game, and we did it through four or five movies on Saturdays. We're doing some decorating and stuff around the house. You come in like halfway through a movie or a third, you miss the first third, and then you try to piece together the plot.
Okay.
And we were nailing them right
and left. I believe it.
Nailing them right and left.
I believe it. So I don't know if I'll get through all these, but you'll recognize these characters. First on the list is the downtrodden kid who finally believes in Christmas magic after being disappointed year after year.
That's Polar Express.
Best known for saying something like, "So Santa is real." They're also super cute, which means extra pity points. How about the single dad who can't seem to catch a break?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
He probably burns the Christmas dinner, and his ex-wife is always disappointed. It's eye rolls galore when this guy's around, but you're still rooting for him. Another one is the kind of sad woman who magically finds her true love.
That's every Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
And or guy. When you talk about the downtrodden dad, they try to make that usually the focus of a lot of Christmas comedies.
Yeah.
And you can screw that up so quickly.
Well, I mean, essentially, that's Tim Allen in The Santa Claus.
Right. You know what's really, I thought kind of sucked was Meet the
Cranks. Christmas with the Cranks?
Cranks. Yeah, it was terrible.
And I didn't watch that one.
I never saw Santa Claus. The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
It's cute.
It is cute.
It actually involves the the death of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Oh,
when Tim Allen is becoming Santa Claus.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Is that where with Martin Short, or is that one
that's
of the
sequels? That's the
third one. Okay. That is...
That stinks.
Yeah.
Is that when he's Jack Frost?
Yeah.
By the way, three and four are the same thing. It says, The kind of sad woman who magically finds her true love, and then four is don't forget the single mom who finally finds,
yeah.
Or you were saying, gentlemen, the single mom who finally finds the love she deserves. Or how about this one? The kid whose one Christmas wish is that their divorced parents get back together.
Standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other side of the coin where the Christmas wish is his parents get a divorce.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Please! You should not be together! Santa, bring me divorce documents! Please!
That would be unique.
Yeah.
Do it. We should do it. We should produce it.
Yeah.
A Christmas without my parents.
All right, how about this? Another character that's essential to Christmas movies. The workaholic dad who leaves getting into the festive spirit to the very last minute.
And then something happens.
It says, because nothing says I love my kids more than waiting until Christmas Eve to get their presents.
I mean, that's Elf. Yeah.
And
yeah,
also, you're right. the one where he's searching for the, where we're looking at Schwarzenegger and Sinbad. This is the, what is that
Jingle
one?
Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way, where he's looking for that Captain Turbo or whatever.
Yeah.
That movie is so realistic.
Yeah. I love in Elf at the end when they're all singing and James Caan is just, he's like lip syncing.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you know, and then they call him on it. And then finally, when he starts singing, that gives Santa's sleigh the power that it
does. And that's true. That's a scientific fact.
Yep.
Number seven on this list, the high-flying businesswoman who suddenly realizes that her life is actually empty because she prioritizes her career over love. It says, but don't worry, guys, she'll be madly in love by the end of the film.
Oh, yeah. I have my particular formula here, Preston, for the movies that I like. So what you need is you need a cute, slightly attractive female lead. Lacey Chabert, Candace Cameron Bure, that kind. The guy, though, needs to look so proper attractive.
Right. That's the way it usually is, right?
That's got to be the case. So that's how they work the best.
Yeah.
They can get cute with, like, Christmas Carol-y ghost kind of stuff, but don't push it.
You know what? I never really noticed this. That's almost opposite. Not quite opposite, but close to the standard big screen rom-com,
which is
the goofball guy
and the stunningly hot girl. Right. It flips over in Hallmark and Christmas movie territory.
Yeah.
Cute girl next door, dimples.
Yeah.
The one you could imagine in making gingerbread cookies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the guy, though, is like chiseled and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think, did I see Brandon Routh in one of those?
Oh, he's Superman. Oh, he'd be perfect. Really?
I mean, just like the absolute perfect-looking guy.
Oh, yeah.
And they find out that they were meant to be together.
There was one I was watching over the weekend with Candace Cameron Bure where it was a shoe fanatic's Christmas or something like that. So, Jean Smart plays this sort of ghost who every pair of shoes she puts on takes her back to the time in her life where she was wearing those shoes.
Okay.
It's really deep. But it was just brilliant.
All right, here's another one from any Christmas movie or a must-need character. The small-town guy who woos said high-flying businesswoman.
Yeah.
He's usually a barman, a carpenter, a hardware store worker whose dreams have never been bigger than his hometown. And apparently, the high-flying, too busy to prioritize her. She prioritizes
her career. She gives it all up. Yeah.
She gives it up to be with the small-town guy that's going to love her for who she is.
Christmas at Christmas Cookie Cove.
Yeah.
This ad exec comes into town, and there's Gary Lauer.
Yeah.
Who just is just hanging on by a string.
Here's another character that's essential to Christmas movies. The dutiful mom who's rushed off her feet making sure her kids have the perfect Christmas despite having a crap one herself.
She has something in her past that makes her dislike Christmas, but she's not going to let that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough.
Yeah, she focuses on making it perfect for her kids despite that she's having a lousy one. How about this one? The eccentric old guy that turns out to be Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was the eccentric old guy like in Home Alone who you think maybe is scary.
No, but the eccentric old guy who nobody knew it. Nobody could see it. He's actually Santa Claus.
I did up a whole bunch of fake synopsis for one of the contests we did, Preston, and my prescience was pretty amazing. The Carnahans at Candy Cane Cove have run the largest Christmas tree farm in Dobbins Valley for over 150 years. But this year, something is making the trees turn brown and unsellable. So that's always the same scenario. It has to be something Christmas related. Christmas cards, Christmas cookies. Eggnog factory, whatever.
Yeah. Eggnog factory.
Yeah. Factory. Did you hear what happened at the eggnog factory? No, we ran out of nutmeg.
I would love
Mother effer!
We need to play that game. Do you still have it?
I do. It's here. You can decide which ones are...
Real or not?
Yeah, real or not.
Oh, we got to do that.
Okay, yeah.
Here's another character. The mom's boyfriend who tries to play the role of doting stepfather but is lame as F.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You know, that's actually almost like... that's like the Will
liar,
Ferrell.
Liar.
Yeah, well, I was going to say Judd Reinhold. There he is in The Santa Claus. You know, he's a nice enough guy, but he's not dad.
Do you know what? Right. You know what sometimes it bothers me is that in some of the movies, the guy who's being passed over is actually a really good guy.
Yeah.
And like Liar Liar was always one where I thought, this guy's actually really good.
Yeah, Cary Elwes
is like a really good guy.
Exactly. He's trying with the claw. He's trying really hard.
And it's just paper thin between him and the you know, congenital liar.
Yes.
Yeah. Who tells the truth for a week. All right.
For 1 week and he says something.
Let's see. Here's another one. The kid who's an absolute terror for most of the movie but redeems themselves in the last 5 minutes. And by redeem themselves, they mean by putting their bullying on pause for a duration of Christmas Day.
Does that happen in Home Alone with the brother?
I don't think so. I think the brother's just an evil bastard.
Okay.
I haven't seen, I haven't watched Home Alone all the way through, but I just, that kid needs to be
shot,
exterminated.
Yeah. There are some, and they never,
just mean.
Yeah. The real ones keep the characters that are like that. They don't really change their spots. You may like them a little bit more for the holidays, but the thing, like when in Hallmark Land or Netflix Holiday Land or whatever, the people you think that are these, you know, like the stodgy store owner or who's making you work Christmas night, well, at the end, but we wanted to gift you with. Yeah. There's always reclamation for those people. They're actually really nice. You just didn't know it in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. So in Home Alone, the evil brother, when they make it home, he says to like Kevin, "Hey, you know, it's pretty cool that you didn't like burn the house down." And then he goes upstairs and he sees his room.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Kevin, what did you do to my room?" And then, you know, I mean, it goes to credits, comes downstairs and kicks the absolute crap out of Kevin McAllister for wrecking his room.
Probably.
Yes. Yeah. I would love to see an after credits scene where Kevin drives a pair of scissors right into the brother's throat. Just
keep it in post credit for those who want to stick around.
In the throat?
In the throat, like over and over. And there's one of those where you're hearing the meat sound and the blood is...
Finally.
When you're talking about these movies, I just looked up the kid in Elf. His name is Daniel Tay. He only did 7 movies, but I thought he was really good as the brother, as the little kid in Elf.
Yeah.
My wife howls during that movie. I like it.
Dude, I love it.
She howls laughing. And I think it's sweet.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. It's not one of my favorites.
I thought it was garbage the first time I saw it.
Really?
Oh, man. I thought this is slapstick crap. This
right.
is lame. I didn't like, and I love James Caan. I didn't like him in the movie.
Right.
Peter Dinklage was the savior, though, for me, because those scenes are hilarious.
Yeah.
I've found it better. The more I've seen it, like a lot of
cute,
these movies.
It's cute, right? It's very cute.
Yeah. I don't hold it in, and some people just swear by it that it's amazing, but I find it certainly funnier than I used to.
It was
I
an agree. Instant top 5 Christmas movie
no,
for me.
Not me.
I agree. I'm like your wife. I will, and I can watch it, one of those movies. I don't care where it is when it comes on, you know, or what point I see it. I'll watch it till the end.
Yeah, and my kids don't mind watching it at any time in the year.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's around Christmas or not. They'll watch it in the middle of the summer.
There's a good thing. Christmas movies, because they'll pop up that you can watch year round.
Yeah.
There's some that it would not feel right watching It's a Wonderful Life in the middle of June.
Right. All right, just a few more characters on this particular list, and this is a standard one. The Scrooge who learns the true meaning of Christmas, of course.
Thousands of times. Do you remember, Preston, there was a riff where Henry Winkler played the meanest man in town? It was a Christmas carol.
I remember.
It's been told 1,000 times.
Yeah. The woman who manages to get her crap together in exactly 5 days, despite her life being a complete mess at the start of the film. Christmas magic can turn your life around, apparently,
sure
is the message.
All you have to do is believe.
Yeah. Number 15 is the real annoying know-it-all kid whose sole purpose is to make the other characters more likable.
Oh, well, and at the Polar Express, and the picture just popped up. Hey, guys.
That's the one.
Hey, why didn't you pull the brake?
Yeah.
He did it.
Yeah. Number 16, the person who seems to hate everything about the festive season, but for some reason works in a Christmassy job.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And then the last one is the creepy old guy who saves the day and teaches us not to judge a book by their cover. There's your guy in Home Alone, Nick.
Yes.
The old guy.
Listen, I used to be a producer, and I made a lot of mistakes. But somehow the spirit of Christmas has affected me.
You know, he never really indicated why he had a falling out with his kids.
No.
Because he killed them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he,
yeah, it could have been something really
disturbing.
You
remind me of my grandkids that I murdered.
Yeah.
But I mean, like how he comes in at the end and, yeah, you know.
But generally speaking, if you have a, like, no relationship with your parents, something happened. It wasn't like you were late to a party. You know what
they
I mean?
They threw out my jerk films. The little bastards threw out all my jerk films.
Now, that actor, I remember him in the movie Christine.
Yes.
And I'm trying to recall what other films he's been in because I've always...
Close Encounters.
Kind of liked him.
Escape from Alcatraz, Christine. Like you said, he died in 2011. His name was Roberts Blossom.
Okay.
When did he die, Nick?
2011.
Okay, because he wasn't the first Magic Mike as a dancer, right?
Oh,
no.
You ladies like this?
I don't remember him in Close Encounters.
He is, I think he is.
It, says, it just says farmer. So.
Okay.
It would be a smaller character, I would imagine.
In Home Alone, the family makes it home on Christmas Day?
Is yes. Because it would be so wrong to make it home after.
It's on the 26th.
And it's still, it's the 28th.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, but the whole cell is we made it home in time. It's like, what was that crappy one with Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
I remember it.
Yeah. And he's going across country to,
I couldn't give you the name of it.
And he's in a Santa suit, like, three quarters of the movie.
Isn't it I'll Be Home for Christmas?
I'll Be Home for Christmas, yeah.
I just love how helpful the police are in the movie Home Alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you just go check him? We think he's, is he in actual trouble? Then we can't do anything about it, you know?
A child, what is he? He's nine in a house. By
he'll be fine.
And we know that there are burglars in the neighborhood. Well, he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? Guys are looking on him.
No. Thank you, Mr. Jackson.
Not a problem.
And by the way, we mentioned this, speaking of Macaulay Culkin and Home Alone, we mentioned it earlier this morning. Hopefully you saw it on social media over the weekend. Last week, we were talking about Home Stallone, where they superimposed Stallone's face on Kevin's body in a picture, in a meme. But now there's a video. It's like a deep fake video of the scene in Uncle Buck when John Candy is talking to Macaulay Culkin's character. And it's a rapid fire series of questions and answers back and forth. And they have... They have deepfaked Stallone's face onto Macaulay Culkin's. And with the Macaulay Culkin dialogue, the actual dialogue running, it's one of my most favorite things.
It is so good. Can you put up Home Stallone as well? Because
it's just so
they're
well
both
done.
So magical. Yeah. Because Stallone's face does look childlike when you don't see him with the ripped, you know, bod and everything like that.
If you missed either of them, they're up on PrestonSteve.com right now. So you can see Home Stallone and you can see the Uncle Buck one, too.
You need to see them both. Oh, my God. That is too funny. Hang on a second. A couple of quick calls and then we got to take a break. I'm going to go to Cody. Hi, Cody. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Gadzooks.
What's up, Cody?
Nothing much, man. Just wanted to chime in. Back in the day when I was in school, we actually, they put on Elf and played it, and I absolutely hated it, man. I despised it. But now that I've grown older, I've had kids, I love it, man. I can't wait to go home and actually watch it tonight.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's a sweet movie. It really is. I don't find it howlingly. My wife is doubled over laughing. I appreciate it in a different way.
But you did a 180 on that, right, Cody?
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Just like you did.
Yeah. No, it's true. Thanks, man. I thought it was dumb, but now I do like it. Let me go to Greg real quick. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, bud?
You guys talk about Home Alone and, like, blowing that up. You guys ever see the Always Sunny in Philadelphia when they're going to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
And Charlie is stuck in his bar.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I didn't see that.
You know, there's actually, there's...
Man, you got to watch that episode.
All right, I will. Thanks, Greg.
There is a great YouTube channel that I follow. It's all special effects. Artist Preston, and they took Home Alone, and they reconnoitered the effects so that whatever what's happening... You know, when you get a blowtorch on the top of your head, it's not going to make you go, ooh.
Yeah.
And so they actually fulfill what each of those things would do.
So they added in blood and things like that?
His head scalp heats up and his eyes explode out of his head.
That's great.
So they're doing all of that with all these things.
The paint cans knock him, basically kill him. They explode
knock their teeth
the
out.
The nail splits his foot down the middle.
Yo, that one, the stepping on the nail on the basement steps, I have a hard time watching that.
I believe it.
Yeah, well, what about, it's like the scene in A Quiet Place.
Yeah, oh.
When she's walking down the steps and the nail is sticking up. So here, look, watch. So watch these guys. They're great.
Oh, God.
So I can't.
He steps and the foot is split completely.
Oh, that is absolute. That's hard to watch. That's really hard. Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, Christmas characters essential to Christmas movies. That's from BuzzFeed. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Don't forget that we do have Christmas Miracle Passes. We'll do those in a little while. Your chance to get on board. It is this Thursday. It is this week.
Oh, my God.
Can't wait to give these prizes away. It'll be at Parks Casino, but we'll tell you when to call them. We're going to be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR proudly presents the return of Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle, Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition, this Thursday morning at the Excite Center inside Parks Casino in Bensalem. A live broadcast, an audience of 250 superfans each out to prove their Preston and Steve IQ in a game show style throwdown. At stake, the best and biggest giveaways of the year with a pile of fabulous prizes from our favorite sponsors and advertisers.
Including Yards Brewing Company, the Philly Pops, and Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
Listen to claim your spot in the studio audience. Details at WMMR.com.
It's a Christmas miracle.
From Parks Casino, What a Night, and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I'm going to get a little plug-a-rooney, if you don't mind. Saints got a gig coming up.
Oh!
Yeah, that's right. Yeah! It's in the... It's in that little in-between Christmas and New Year's, window. So on the 27th, we're going to be playing...
Oh, is this Mannheim Saint Roller?
That's it. Mannheim Saint Roller. Thank you. We're going to be at Root Down Brewing in Phoenixville.
Oh, right in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, on the 27th, Friday the 27th. So if you want to come out, we're going to be playing there, which would be cool. I've never been there, so I'm excited.
Oh, it's very cool. Yeah. And that's a hopping town, so you'll do well.
We're just driving through Phoenixville this weekend, and it was on Saturday at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was... The traffic was a nightmare going through there.
I forgot to tell you guys this. I saw a video last week. You know, they have that Phoenix Festival every year where they burn Phoenix. So they light the thing on fire and they build this giant thing out of wood. And it's pretty awesome. A guy came to when we were out at Comcast last week at in Pottstown. A guy showed me a video. This dude, while the Phoenix is burning to the ground, goes streaking around the entire burning thing so he's running around completely buck ass naked and then runs into the crowd and disappears throughout the night.
It was
impressive. I haven't seen a streaker like that at a public event in a long time.
This you saw this
no,
in
no,
person?
No, okay. A guy showed me a video when we were at the Comcast store. Yeah.
So it's where is it again? What's the date and the location?
The 27th at Root Down Brewing in Phoenixville. So sometimes people are looking for something to do that after Christmas and not quite New Year's party. Come on out.
Yeah,
man. We're going to be playing a show, so it should be fun. All right, Bizarre File time. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Primo Hoagies. Whether you're watching the game or hosting friends over the holidays, score big and serve in style with Primo Hoagies. You can check out their gift card extravaganza promotion at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie. It's a Primo. Well, a porch pirate who wasn't content with just stealing a delivery package took the crime a step further when they decided to leave a handwritten note thanking the victim for letting them take it. Yeah, wow. Homeowner Hillary Smith of St. Paul, Minnesota said she found the note on her porch after coming home from work around 5 p.m. and hours after she received a text message saying that her package was successfully delivered. And it read on the note, "So, Just a quick little thank you for leaving me the opportunity of stealing your package. Very nice of you. Thank you. The new owner, and then it was signed, the new owner of your package. How about that?
Wow.
The balls.
What a...
The scuzzy bastard.
Mm-hmm. St. Paul police posted a picture of the cruel note on Twitter while offering tips to residents to prevent this type of crime from happening. They were also curious to see if others had received a similar note asking local residents to report these types of thefts. It's something that we've never seen before, and I don't know what to chalk it up to. It's so unheard of, according to a sergeant. While a taunting note was extremely rare, police said that 94 package thefts have been reported in St. Paul since October 1st, and they added porch thieves are more frequent around the holidays, of course.
Of course, there's a much more deliveries, but you don't know what's in that package.
I saw a video on YouTube, and I haven't watched it yet, but apparently they did it again this year. The people who created the glitter bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Oh, they did something else?
They did it the same thing again, maybe with an added twist. I don't know. I haven't watched it yet, but it's where somebody would steal the package, and they had a camera on it. They rigged this. Yeah. They'd spend a lot of money.
The guy was an engineer who did it.
To tech it up, yeah. And when the person would take this, the thief would take it home and open it up, it would blow glitter all over the place. Awesome. And some people did it in their car and it got glitter. It's great. It's
honestly
wonderful.
Yeah,
they need to add pepper spray in there too,
something
which would be great. All right, in case you didn't know it, there's a real legit species of fish in the wild that is nicknamed the penis fish. And thousands of them recently washed ashore in Drake's Beach, California.
It's appropriately named.
Following a storm, yeah. The 10-inch marine creature is also known as the fat innkeeper worm, and it looks like a pink sausage, and it's known for creating U-shaped burrows in mud and sand that it leaves behind so other creatures can move in.
So when I was looking at it, Preston, there is an end that appears to be like testicles, but not. Is that the head of the thing?
I don't really know. And this isn't the first time thousands of them have washed up on a beach either. Experts say that they've been around for around 300 million years and are harmless and passive creatures that have many threats, including otters, seagulls, and sharks. But the penis fish washed up all over the place.
You notice how you never heard about that in school.
Yeah.
They stay away from that one.
How did I make it 44 years without ever seeing one of these things?
Yeah. Me either. A Florida man, this is a follow-up story, Florida man found partially eaten by an alligator.
I remember this.
Died from an overdose of methamphetamines. Michael Ford II's body was found on June 27th in an alligator's mouth in water near a phosphate mine.
So the belief is he died from the OD and then the alligator just was found food.
Yeah. A necropsy had revealed Ford's hand and foot inside the 11-foot-long alligator's stomach. It's still unclear why Ford was on the property, but officials said Wednesday he died from methamphetamine intoxication and that he was eaten by the reptile.
Welly, welly, well, what is this here?
Initially the cause of death was thought to be from drowning, but the toxicology reported that he actually died from meth. If you are systematically stealing money from a bank vault, it may not be a good idea to post the evidence on your social media pages. A bank employee in Charlotte, North Carolina, allegedly stole $88,000 from the bank's vault. And he wasn't bashful about advertising to his social media followers the life of luxury that he was funding. Orlando Henderson stole cash out of the vault in separate allotments, on at least 18 different occasions this year. Throughout July and August of 2019, he used a social media account to post several pictures of him holding large stacks of cash. He then allegedly, listen to this, committed loan and fraud in connection with the purchase of a luxury automobile. Now, his numerous Facebook and Instagram photos depict him as posing with stacks of cash, and the U.S. Attorney's Office said that he used money to make $20,000 down payment on a Mercedes-Benz. He also allegedly falsified bank documents to obtain a car loan from another financial institution to cover the remaining balance of the vehicle. Now, on Facebook and Instagram, they showed him posing with a white Mercedes-Benz. He was arrested 3 months later. He allegedly took bank customers' cash deposits out of the bank vault for months. Many of those times, he deposited money into an ATM near the bank where he worked. And he wrote on Facebook, "I make it look so easy, but this crap really a process." And it was part of a string in which he talked about building his brand. That post showed him holding a stack of money and smoking a cigarette. So he's
building his brand, Preston.
Building his brand and telling everybody
how to get ahead through bank robbery.
Now, speaking of robbery, this is a pretty straight ahead story, but it's like right out of a movie, of almost like Ocean's 11 style.
Really?
Three men have been arrested after a law enforcement investigation found that they were involved in a series of jewelry store heists around the state of Florida. The men were connected to a series of jewelry store burglaries between 2011 and 2017. The men were arrested are Michael Ornelas, William Granims, and Matthew Petruccelli. Now, Ornelas is a safe engineer specialist and the mastermind behind the heist. He's considered one of the top five safe crackers in the world and is known as a legal safe cracker. He is the owner of Houdini Safe and Vault in Boynton Beach and also did contract work as a safe tech at K Jewelers.
So he's paid.
He's legit.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Granims is a counter-surveillance specialist and also considered a mastermind behind the spree, detective said. Petruccelli is the owner of the Secret Attic Thrift Store, and detective said he was the lookout. The investigators found the men committed 23 sophisticated jewelry store heists, resulting in a retail loss of $16 to $18 million.
Whoa. But that's like a creme de la creme of people who would be the best for this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he has a complete working knowledge of safe. The other one has security knowledge.
Two of the men were involved in 50 jewelry store heists in the late 1990s in the Southeast U.S. And those cases outside of Florida, the sheriff said about $10 million in jewelry was stolen.
$10
million? In 2011, detectives say four Florida counties reported burglaries similar to those what happened in the 90s. Then in 2013 and 14, there were four more stores hit across Florida. Burglaries hit Hernando County in 2015 and 16. 10 burglaries happened in those years. Then in March 2017, throughout the end of the year, five more burglaries hit stores in Florida. Investigators said the three men scouted out more than 200 jewelry stores in Florida.
Wow.
It took hours to break into the safes, detective said, because the men would break into an adjacent business and slowly test the jewelry store alarm system. And they were very good at taking their time and making sure that it was thorough. The men left no physical evidence behind either. They found out the three men were headed to Chicago to rob a jewelry store and marijuana dispensaries. Detectives said that the men were arrested in Chicago while trying to rob a store. The sheriff's office is in the process of getting the men back to Florida to face charges.
I've always wondered about that. So if you have a place or a jewelry store, you know, you have a safe, a Buster's is up against the wall of another business, are there precautions that you take with that business or, you know, there's all these things that we probably are unaware of that they have to do, nine steps in addition, to protect this stuff. Like someone who is employed to open up and crack safes.
Yeah.
You know, how they could go rogue. It's you know, it's a possibility.
Yep. But they did it for years.
Wow.
And years.
Make a movie out of that.
They could.
I want to see that.
$18 million. And that is your Bizarre File. Let's do the Christmas Miracle giveaways right now.
It's a Christmas miracle.
We'll start with the 12th caller. We'll go 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. All right, 215-263-WMMR. Those number callers get an invite to Parks Casino this Thursday in the Excite Center, that big venue that they have.
Yeah.
We take it over for the morning, and only you will be qualified to end up on Contestants Row. Your guest, however, can come hang out with you, support you. And also, they might win some prizes in other ways.
Oh, yeah. Lots of stuff.
So let's get you on board. And don't forget, it's Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. So have your friend wear an ugly sweater, and you never know. They might win a prize. 215-263-WMMR. That is a number. So that is this Thursday. And you got to know our program. It's all about the show. It's a loyalty prize contest that we have. So for you, the longtime listener, we test your knowledge, and if you can outsmart the others, then you can win prizes. That's the way it works.
Love it.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay close.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style, whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine.
Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Holy no way!
I will be bringing you guys cookies very soon.
Oh!
Yeah. My wife's mom and dad are in town, and my mother-in-law loves to, around Christmas, when she comes in, makes 5,000 pounds of cookies.
Oh, my gosh.
All the same kind of cookies or different
kind
of cookies?
No, no. So there's chocolate chip, there's peanut butter, there's... she also made what's called cream cheese cookies.
Oh, yeah.
I like those a lot.
What are they?
They're just a, it's a cookie with a, it's hard to describe the flavor.
I get serious.
It's like
about
a milder, not as sweet as chocolate chip cookies, but I like it as just a.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, I'll bring some in. I'll let you try them.
You guys, I went to a cookie exchange party. I can't remember if I told you this or not. I don't remember much. But I went to a cookie exchange party weeks ago, and
you're always the black sheep of those, aren't you?
I started to make the, listen, I told myself that I was pretty good at baking. I was like, well, you can't cook, but you can bake. Yeah, I can't bake either. I made like three batches. One, I'm not even kidding you, they didn't even cook. They didn't bake. They were in the oven so long. It was like 45 minutes. You can't make a cookie or bake a cookie for 45 right. minutes. It was still like liquid. I didn't
Did
know what was going
on. Did you have the
on.
Lower oven on instead of the...
No, I don't know. I had everything right.
Were you stir frying them?
Wait, so then I finally get the third batch. I'm like, okay. Like, they were good. I had them out. My mom stopped over. She took a bite. She goes, oh, you can't take these. These are disgusting.
Thanks, Mom. It's the kind of support I've cherished throughout our life.
I was like, oh, okay. So I had to
Better
bail out.
Better that than she takes bad cookies with her. But
I, yeah. so no,
it'd
bailed,
be fun seeing them.
I bailed out. I went to the party. I went to the party, but I was like, I can't take part in the cookie exchange. I didn't make the cookies. They were terrible.
You must have missed a step.
Listen, I made three batches.
None of them?
The first batch didn't bake. The second, it did, but I don't know. It just was like not really happening. And then the third... they came out, they were fine, perfect. They looked good, but my mom said they tasted terrible.
Let me ask you, when you're doing your ingredients, when you have your ingredients, when you're mixing them together, are you using a mixer, an electric mixer?
Yeah, well, so listen, I follow the recipe. I follow it exactly.
Are you using an electric mixer? Does it tell you to use an electric mixer? Really?
Yes, in the beginning, and then it says to like mix in.
Fold it.
Yeah, with like at the end when you put the flour in and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. Listen, I followed it. There are these things. They're called energy balls. There's basically nothing to it. It's peanut butter, oats, and
those are good.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Why can I not make them? They fall apart. They don't become balls. They're just like lay on.
You've never been good with balls.
No. I hate balls.
Well, wow. See Claire's thing. That's where she loves baking. She's on the cooking level. I think she is a good cook. But baking, the precision of it is what she loves. So,
the only thing that I can make are chocolate chip cookies because it's the recipe on the back of the bag.
I was at a party on Saturday, and I had the best gingerbread cookies that were almost like a halfway between gingerbread cookie and gingerbread like fudge.
Ooh. Oh.
They were so good. I mean, I'm always up for trying new cookies, but, you know, if you can make a chocolate chip cookie, you're aces in my book.
I tried to do cookies last year. I was like, because we had always done it growing up. We always have, my mom would make butter cookies and chocolate chip cookies. And so last year I was like, I want to start this tradition. This is what we're going to do on a Saturday night before Christmas. So what I didn't realize is that, like,
swing.
No, like one bag of cookies. I mean, one bag of chocolate chips makes like 24 cookies. So we were done. I mean, like one batch. I was like, oh, you need to like get a lot of stuff.
A lot of ingredients.
A lot of it.
So I'll bring some of these in because we've got all this around the house. And I realize it after reading this article that I noticed here that I'm going to pass along to you. Is that I've been.
This is the noticer.
I guess it's kind of the noticer. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I did notice this story and I noticed that fall into this category as of late. I was
holiday noticer.
Wait
He's
a second.
Here.
I'm not ready for it. I got something.
Okay.
Ho, ho.
Here we go. Holiday noticer.
Okay, you can
we
put these two together.
Sleigh bells ringing and ring jing jangle along.
I love that.
No, I've noticed that, you know, now for most of the year, I've been really, really good. You guys have noticed I lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. And I feel healthier. I've been eating healthier. Past couple months, I have not. And I realize that I have been emotional eating.
Well, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because I do this same thing here. I sort of cut weight in anticipation of the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
I lose additional buffer weight so I can have my cookies, my banana. No, I can have my cookies. And is that what you do?
Normally, I would actually I wait till the end of the year. I do plan on being a glutton this time
right.
of year.
Okay,
but I've noticed lately that I've been eating even when I'm not hungry.
So you're crying when you're eating?
Yeah, I'm like just, I'm a wreck.
Raising the snickerdoodle to your mouth.
I'm a wreck.
Crying.
Speaking to that though, have you ever been watching? Say you're watching a movie and eating at the same time,
yes.
or something like that, and a really emotional part of the movie comes up. And you actually are eating and crying at the same time.
Yeah.
it's true. Very bizarre.
It's hard, and it's hard to swallow.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Because when your throat starts to close up.
I have actually been tearing up emotionally and been chewing at the same time.
Okay.
It's a very strange sensation.
All right, so I've never told anybody this.
Oh, good. And I love noticers.
No. It's
secrets from the noticer. Yeah.
No, well, it's going to... It's going to bring the room down just a little bit.
All right, thanks.
When my father died.
I knew you were going to say that. All right.
I was chewing gum, and I belted out and I was on him, okay? Yeah. And the gum fell out of my mouth, okay?
Onto your dad?
I guess so.
Yeah.
It was just me and him.
Oh, my God.
And then I stopped crying. It was over. My bereavement was over at that moment. I was gum fell out. And I was like,
"Oh my God, I lost my gum."
Okay, I guess
I'm sorry. Hold
I guess
on
I'm not as sad this is, anymore.
This is actually the moment that your father expired. This is not my dad passed, and it was a tough time, and so on. This is the moment that he passed.
Well, he had passed. I wasn't out. In the room when he had passed. So right.
so you leaned so over. You're bawling. Mm-hmm. You're crying. You have gum in your mouth. The gum falls out, and that stops your crying.
That was it.
Wow.
My bereavement was over.
Wow.
I was like, man, I wanted to get like a good 5 minutes. I needed that. I needed that, like...
Was it the new Wrigley Cry gum?
Yeah, what kind of gum was it?
I don't remember.
It was Wrigley Cry.
It was kind of a weird
only you.
Personal moment,
but
you know?
I feel like your dad would have appreciated
you know what,
that.
Though? In a way, he probably wanted you distracted, so it wasn't, you know...
Right.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You never found the gum?
No, I got it.
Oh, you did get it back?
Yeah, I got it back.
Does he have gum in his mouth?
That's a hell of a story to share, Casey.
Yeah,
it wow.
Was, it, you know, so.
He would probably love that story. So, you know he would.
But the moment, but it's oddly enough, it's going to be hardwired into you for the rest of your life that the moment that gum fell out of your mouth was.
Yep.
I'm done crying now.
Yeah, maybe that was the way of my dad saying shut up.
Maybe
that's enough, kid.
Maybe
that's enough.
All right,
knock it off.
Wow, I'm dead over here. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting. Now, back to what I was saying, just to move the conversation along.
About emotional eating.
Yeah, emotional eating, and I've realized that I've been doing that because even when I'm not physically hungry, I've been eating anyway, just to do it. You know what I mean?
What is your default? Am I eating? I didn't even realize I was eating.
I will usually go for some type of cheese.
Okay.
Cheese is so good. Not always the sweet. I can get overloaded by sweets, but more savory things I can go back to time and time again.
Will you hold up like a wheel of cheese and eat it like
an entire thing? Yeah, like corn on the cob.
Well, what's the emotion, though? Wait, are you stressed? Are you upset?
Yeah, I think
are you maybe, on your menzies?
Maybe just over...
Is boredom an emotion?
It might be maybe just overwhelmed by this time of year. You know what I mean?
Listen, it is a highly stressful time of year.
Deadlines and
crunching
and,
numbers
and stuff that you got to do. You know, errands you have to run, gifts you have to buy, stuff like that. That you can know that you can go to. That eating is going to be a good thing.
You want to put the cheese back into Christmas?
I would love to put the cheese back into Christmas. Make it more legitimate.
Yeah, right.
Merry Cheesemas.
Keep the cheese in Christmas.
But according
We've
to
lost
this,
sight of the cheese.
But I read this article. Psychologists
Jesus of Nazareth.
Reveal that common reasons behind emotional eating.
All right, please.
So here's the deal. Our emotions produce neurochemical changes in our bodies and brains, particularly substances, drug, alcohol, food, and activities will also produce neurochemical changes. And we use the substance or activity that we've learned counteracts the unpleasant sensations associated with an emotion. And
yeah.
It's available right now when you need it. So that's why you can just eat. For some reason, it makes you feel better.
Yes, because you if it's something you enjoy eating, it is it's a remedy.
It's a comfort.
It's comfort food by its very nature.
Yeah.
And I also, by the way, there is a whole list of things that aren't around the house throughout the rest of the year, mm-hmm. a la holiday cookies and things like that are perfect for it. You know, homemade chocolate chip cookies are I have to close a container and put them away. Take out two cookies and put them away. I can't open the container and leave it there.
Okay, because
I will. The cookies I plan on eating, close the container and put it away.
Oh, yeah. Steve, so you mentioned cutting weight before the holidays. Yeah. When do you stop doing that? Like, is it Thanksgiving?
Actually, Thanksgiving sort of lean and mean for me as well because I'm home alone, like Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, you're home Stallone.
Like Stallone.
Yeah.
And right now I start to ease up.
By the way, I love how the both of you can just decide to cut weight. Like nothing goes into it. Effort.
Women can't do that?
No. Man. It takes 5 weeks for 5 pounds.
Last year when I lost close to 40 pounds, Rochelle and I started at the same time doing it together. And I was just, the weight's just melting right off of me. And she was struggling. It pissed her off. Turned her the other direction. She's like, well, screw you.
I'm eating. That's emotional.
And I'm like, sorry. It's just, I'm doing what I, and you're right. Guys have an easier job.
Make the decision.
Yeah.
I've made the decision. Nothing's happening.
So, by the way, sadness and anger, uncomfortable emotional state. So it's only natural that we look for something to distract ourselves. Sadness tells us that we've lost something important. While anger tells us we've been attacked, wronged, or thwarted, so going to food is a pretty easy option.
What food, after you've binged on it, makes you feel like the filthiest prostitute? I am so loathsome.
Wow, that's a good question.
Finishing the carton of ice cream.
Not even getting
the bowl out, just taking the
carton. You're just disappointed in yourself.
Not even that. It's just why dirty up a bowl? I have a spoon. Yeah. I might as well just grab the carton.
Yeah.
Why dirty up a spoon? Just use your hands.
Yeah, right.
For me, it's anything, and I love it, anything with peanut butter.
Okay.
I love peanut butter.
Peanut butter. Can you name a main culprit? In the peanut butter world?
Just actual peanut butter.
Just actual peanut butter.
I guess for me, Steve's some kind of chips or something like that.
Chips are good. Because
I'll get done and I'm there's grease on my fingers. Yeah, and you think about what's in your body then. You're
listen.
Why did I do that?
It's re-entered my life vis-a-vis hers. The cheese balls and the little cheese minis now. 81 per serving.
I know.
So,
well, you're a kid when you're finished with those.
You have...
It's all over your hands.
You have surgical gloves made of cheese dust.
Yeah.
And it's there. It's there's nothing... It's looking you in the face, but they're so effing good.
Overdoing it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Because I love having some chips with a sandwich or something. I need some crunch when I eat pretty much
anytime.
So.
I'll tell you another thing, Preston. Pepperidge Farm or Entenmann's chocolate, a devil's food cake. Mm-hmm. When you take the knife and you cut it thin, I'm just going to cut a thin sliver.
And you're trying
to keep the geometry of it.
Yep. Yeah.
And you're noticing that the cake is you're seeing more, the tray underneath is advancing across the thing, but you keep going back.
Yeah.
But if you keep it geometrical, you really haven't eaten that cake.
I'll tell you what I can eat guilt-free and I can go to town on. Is
steam.
Popcorn.
Popcorn.
Popcorn and goldfish. I can eat.
Oh, no. Too much goldfish. Too many.
No, I can just too much goldfish.
Too much goldfish.
So the thing about this time of year, there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of things going on. It's easy to follow into the emotional eating habit. And how you can break the habit, according to the article that I read, and this is just a thumbnail of the steps here, but you need to recognize the link. You need to point out, hey, first of all, I'm not really hungry. Why am I doing this in the first place? All right, and then what you want to try to do is you want to try to take action. It's you have to pause and notice what just happened so you can identify it. Make a note of this and try to avoid these antecedents, as they're called, in the future.
Okay.
If a particular person or situation is triggering the desire to eat, reduce your contact with them. Try and figure out what the particular emotion is that the antecedent has triggered, and then you can work out what alternatives to food will help you deal directly with that emotion without the need to eat. Because apparently activity can be a good, it will make you feel better to get out and get active for a moment.
But part of the problem at this time of year is that getting outside and doing the activity is hard. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And so you really have to make the effort. You have to be aware of all of that. And then you have to be like, you know what? Yes, it's cold and annoying out, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yep. Agreed.
So, yeah. Also, you can, if you can replace, to that point, what you binge when you're emotionally eating with something that maybe is even less calories, but still, like you said, popcorn. Yeah. Popcorn. Yep. I adore popcorn.
Yeah. Yep.
So that'll do it.
All right. So I just noticed that about myself. Let me find
Let's
some other.
Notice about himself.
Yeah.
It's the holiday edition of the Noticer. We hear those sleigh bells ringing, jing, jing, jingle along. Lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
That just gets me in the holiday
giddy
spirit.
Up, giddy up.
Okay, so I noticed this story. I have not seen the picture, and I'm curious, and I want to see if our interns can find this and put it on the monitor up here.
Is it two girls with a cup?
It's not two girls in a cup. Apparently, there's a place called the Nose Warmer Company.
Ooh.
It's based in the UK, and they make nose warmers.
Okay.
It says here the product is strange looking. It stays in place by using straps that latch around the ears.
Oh, I've seen this.
Really?
It's ridiculous.
Oh, come on.
It's ridiculous. This is like the OptiGrab and the jerk.
Yeah.
I will tell you what, though. Why not? You know that those hand and feet warmer thingies?
Yes, the little packets, yeah.
Little packets? I mean, why not make one of those that has like an adhesion that you could almost like a, you know, the Bure thing?
Do you know what you're doing?
You're supposed to put it on your skin.
Yeah, but why don't make it so you can put it on your skin?
Yeah.
Well, or just get... So there's again, they don't pay me, but I buy a lot of stuff. I'll go to the warming store at Man Young. The amount of battery and the gear that used to just be motorcycle enthusiasts would get these battery heated the clothing, but now there's so much of it. There are things like what do they call the over your full face balaclava or what is it?
Yeah,
right. So
essentially, just leaves your what is it?
Balaclava. Casey was talking about the Greek dessert.
I like baklava.
Yeah.
Actually, a Moroccan.
Why do you have
dessert?
Greek pastry on your face?
It's everything but your eyes
right.
covered. Yeah,
but they have heated versions of those as well, and things. Yeah, that so you can do that without because as Kathy's right on those hand warmers, you can't put them directly on your skin.
Yeah, the nose warmer thing. I'm sorry.
It looks stupid.
My nose does get quite chilly when we hit these really cold days, but I would never.
You'd look like an idiot.
I'd never wear one of those.
It looks like, you know, like a bad Bond villain.
Yeah.
It's red noses here.
The one warming thing that I wish I still had was, do you remember the 360 earmuffs?
Yeah. Oh, they're great.
They go around the back of your head. Yeah. Those are pretty solid.
Steve uses those.
I do use those. Yeah. I find that as long as my ears are warm, people say, so much heat escapes from your head. It does. But when my ears are cold, that's when I start to feel it. If my torso's warm, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I just put freshly cooked chocolate chip cookies in my vest.
Does anyone besides our family have a hard time hanging on to pairs of gloves?
Oh, my God.
I'll have to bring a picture of the bag of gloves that we have, winter gloves.
Just one.
You can't find any that match. I don't even care anymore. I'm going to try to match it. Just two gloves. I need a left and a right.
Yeah.
and we can't find, I don't know where the hell they go.
Why don't they?
And you hold on to them just in case.
You find the other
one. Find the other one.
Yeah. We got a huge bag of gloves.
So they have things like a clip for your gloves and things. Why don't they have a sleeve in your coat? That is actually a glove.
That can be
folded up like the same
and
way
you tucked up under.
Tucked
there?
Up under. Yeah. You pull it out and
maybe
it's
they should.
Right?
Yeah. That's
because
a good invention.
Preston's right. You lose gloves.
Glove
it happens
coats.
All the time.
Coat gloves. You write that down and patent that stuff
cloves.
Right now. Yeah.
Gloves.
There's only one person in my entire household, actually two, including my mother, but that can actually hang on to pairs of socks and gloves. And that is me. I'm the only person because I put them in places. That's
good.
That's my place.
Pictures.
Yes.
The only man who could hold on to both gloves and what else did you say?
And socks.
And socks. Sock and what did you say?
Gloves.
Gloves.
We're looking at something that might be this, Casey.
Oh, the glove
my invention's already been invented.
Damn it.
But that looks like they zip on, Steve.
It looks like a zip on.
Yeah, but that's
from
not bad.
Chuck's own pictures.
Yeah.
Then you could take them off when it's
I'm saying
out.
No, but then you're going to lose them.
Yeah,
you're going to lose them.
You'll lose them when you take them off. They should never.
They are irrevocably attached to the coat.
All right. I'm sure they make them.
So they have fingerless gloves, right? Those little half gloves?
They stink.
They do. But do they have...
I actually like them. What I really like are the palmless gloves.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Just the fingers that you put...
Damn it. That was my thing. That's where I was going.
Yeah.
Would you legitimately?
Well, I don't know if they have that. Because they have the
fingerless
gloves. They're
called finger cots.
Yeah,
is what they're called.
Palmless gloves would be great.
Palmless gloves.
Well, essentially, they would be like thimbles, you know?
No, they're actually, for people who have medical conditions, they're called finger cots. And you'll see them, you know, they're,
really?
Yeah, for people who have, like, rotten nails and stuff like that. Yeah.
And they don't want to wear gloves that would be too hot all the time.
Right.
They just need to cover those
finger cots.
Rotten nails.
That's the medical term.
Yes.
Rotten nails.
You have nail rot.
I'm sorry. I have rotten nails.
From Judge Stone Pictures, he was tortured by nail rot. Until a young doctor named Kathy Romano came into his life. Take those goddamn things off.
We're going to fix your nails.
And stop picking your nose.
All right. So nose warmers are apparently they're a hit in the UK, or at least this one company is having some success. How about something? If I don't mention this, this is something I've noticed year after year.
The edition of the Noticer that he's noticed year after year,
and I've never mentioned before. And
why not?
And I don't need to go into a full on Christmas lights conversation, but. Do you guys ever go by the William Penn Inn at night?
Where is it?
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's on Route 202. It is the William Penn Inn, right?
It's the William Penn Inn, yeah. It's
those trees.
Isn't it awesome?
Where?
So they have these really old, I guess they're oak trees. I'm not sure. They're gigantic, Steve. And they have covered every possible inch of these trees. And I mean, all the tiny little branches that go out.
Ooh.
And... how do you do that?
I
don't
know.
Do you wrap a tree like that?
Is that near Normandy Farms?
It looks so pretty. I think it's on...
It's a couple miles down from Normandy Farms.
Yeah, okay. maybe the crossroad is Penland Bluebell Pike.
It's 202 and 63, which is...
So if you go into Manayunk, Main Street Manayunk, there are trees like that. And obviously, the lights are up all the time. They just turn them on for the holidays. Because I've noticed... I'm a noticer, too. Is that like in the summer you'll see it's so precise it must take forever to wrap
it on there.
Yeah, you see the bulbs on the trees.
I do know that they keep these lit. By the way, the picture we're looking at doesn't do it justice.
Not even close.
It's like 9 million times better than this.
Yep.
But that they keep them lit throughout the winter. So they, you know, they get their...
they get the mileage out of it.
Yeah, out of it.
Yeah, Steve, this doesn't look anything. When you drive by, you're like, oh my gosh.
So
they're huge trees.
Every single branch in the picture that we've just seen is completely illuminated. So in the summer, do those branches fill in with leaves?
Yeah, they
do.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
I wonder how that's achieved.
I don't know.
Do you think they take them off?
It's incredibly.
They can't. There's no way.
That's way too much work to take it on.
Now we're looking at a better picture, Kathy. Look right here with this couple getting married out front. You can't believe how they can cover every branch like that with lights. I don't know how you do that at all.
Yeah. I notice an uptick in people's houses being decorated with lights this year. I think it's because of the net lights. The net lights make things so much easier.
And the LEDs as well. I actually stopped off at a house the other day, which is not too far. It's in the Hatfield area. It's near, there's a Lowe's, and I drive by this house from time to time when we get there. There's two houses. One house on one side of the street, and they're directly across from each other. One house is ridiculously old school. And by this, I mean there's nary a square inch on the lawn. Is vacant, and it's all the old plastic, like plastic Santa
Claus. Very
Clauses.
Retro. Yeah, I love it.
Really great.
Yeah.
The guy has a whole storage facility just for his stuff.
Right.
Now, across the street is the antithesis of that. It is the computer-generated, beautiful, very meticulous light setup. So I've seen these two things for years. So the other day, I was driving by, and the guy who has the more meticulously and the more modern, I stopped, and I asked him where he got his stuff. He and his wife were out front raking their yard, and I go, hey, I'm sorry to interrupt. I love your light display. Where'd you guys get this stuff? And it turns out what I thought, they made it all themselves.
When
you see those houses that have the computer-generated lights that can actually do GIFs and things like that, You can buy the components for that, but you have to put them together yourself. Well, you have to make
program
these things.
Them? Yes.
Well, not just program, but you have to
create it.
Yeah. So they took PVC piping. He said, "Yeah, I got a drill press. I drilled all these holes in them, and I stuck the lights all through there one at a time." And he said, "But all that work is nothing compared to the amount of time it takes to program this stuff." He said that they were coming back from a vacation somewhere, and his wife had the computer and was working on while they were in the car working on the program, and she said, "I did about a 1 minute run through. Took me about 2 hours.
Wow,
a one minute program to go through, and it takes forever to do this stuff. But it's incredibly impressive. I knew immediately after I started talking to him, like, okay, I'll never do this.
Yeah. So where do you get those old time decorations?
Yeah. He went across the street.
But he gave me names and places that you can order these types of LED lights. And where to? But it's up to you to create the presentations to build all this stuff. And I'm like, I'll never do it. No. I don't have the equipment to do it.
I'm glad there are people that do it, but
it's beautiful.
Not me.
Yeah.
So getting back to the William Penn Inn, apparently they wrap them every year. They take the lights off.
Are you kidding me?
They take a few days over November. And
a few days?
They bring in a bucket crew, a bucket lift, and they come in and they take them off in January. But they stay up for a while. But they rewrap them every year.
How would you do that?
Here, Mike has worked there for 15 years. So let me go to him. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. So Nick just got the word that apparently they take those lights down and put them back up every year.
Yeah, he stole my thunder. I was just about to blow the lid off that one.
How is that done? How something this? Now we're looking at every single branch and sub branch is covered in lights. How is that done?
We've got an amazing maintenance guy who's like one of these guys that can just do anything. They get a cherry picker. They get a crew of about 3 guys, some of our utility guys, maintenance, and they're out in the cold day and night, and it takes longer than 3 days. It's actually a couple-week process.
Wow. When do they do that, Mike? Because I would think you'd want to have decent weather when you're doing something like that.
Well, the season there for, being super busy starts at around Thanksgiving, so it begins first week of November.
First week in November, they'll start working on it.
Still going to be chilly, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Oh, yeah, it's still cold.
They have to wait for all the leaves to fall, right?
Yeah, all the leaves have to come up before you can do that. Yeah. So it's unbelievably impressive, and now that makes it that much more impressive that you tell us that, because I just thought it was, wow, they leave them up year-round, and then they'll go and check and see what works and what doesn't work when the season rolls around.
If you look up there on the fourth branch, Preston, there's a bird covered in lights.
Right. Yeah. It's that detailed. The trees are huge, and they go out to every tiny, like Steve was saying, sub-branch that breaks, and they cover them. It's impressive.
And it's a constant process of, when the little light burns out in your string?
Yeah.
That the whole entire string goes down, so it's a constant process of... figuring out which wire works and, which bulb needs to be replaced on your wire.
Yeah.
What kind of lights? Like, there's different size, like C7, C9 and all that stuff. What size lights are they using?
Oh, I'm not sure the size, but I just know that they're fairly expensive LEDs.
Oh, they are LEDs, so they're not incandescent. Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. Wow. Well, nice work, Mike. Give them our best over there, okay?
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I think they do something pretty similar at Longwood, because they'll take those lights off every year because the trees grow and, branches fall off and whatever. So they have to unwrap them and then wrap them back up. But a little secret I learned about going to Longwood is wait until after Christmas, because it gets so crowded in between now and Christmas that if you can go through January, all those lights are still up and far fewer people.
Okay.
So do it,
It's gorgeous.
It is. It's absolutely gorgeous. But it gets packed.
All right, just a couple things I noticed. One of the past those long in the holiday edition of the Noticer.
The holiday edition of the Noticer.
First time we've ever done that. All right, I want to take a break and I want to give something away. Can I give away this case?
Yes.
I have a Star Wars prize pack that does include a pair of Fandango tickets that you can see the final installment in the Skywalker saga. Wow. Star Wars: Rise of Skywalker in theaters nationwide on Friday. So we'll give you a pair of tickets to go see that. So and a prize pack comes along with that.
Huh.
Caller number 14 at 215-263-WMMR. We're going to take care of you. We'll take a break. Come back in a second with our friend Greg Fitzsimmons. Stay with us.
Here we go.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Tomorrow from 8 to 10, the MM Army Rocks West End Pub, 750 North West End Boulevard in Quakertown, for our Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition free party. Win a seat at Christmas Miracle on December 19th at Parks Casino Excite Center and enjoy Miller Lite specials.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks.
Our next guest keeps booking shows while we're on vacation.
And now we're beginning to believe it's by intent.
It's on purpose.
Yeah.
No, we need a face-to-face.
We do.
For the fifth star.
It's been a long time.
It has been a while, but we'll do the next best thing. We'll at least get him on the air. He's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club on Friday the 27th, Saturday the 28th, and then he will be doing a Sunday show on the 29th. Please welcome our friend, Mr. Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yay!
Program. Hey, Greg.
Hey, nice to be on with you. Yeah, I wish it was face-to-face. I miss you guys. Yeah.
It's been a while. We always try to have...
Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Where's the love?
Yeah. How have you been? How's you know, I follow you on Instagram and on Twitter. I don't know. I don't deserve your praise for that, but I see a lot of things that are going on, and I this Venice Christmas celebration. I was watching the video. There's like an armada of Christmas vessels that go down the water. This looks like a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, this is in, I love living in Venice. It's just so, there's so many cool things about it, but there's a bunch of canals that, that were dug out, you know, basically when Venice was created, there was the guy named Abbot Kinney went to Italy and he saw the canals and he came back and he said, I want to have that same thing here in Los Angeles. So he dug out all these canals and, he didn't know that 150 years later, they would be homeless encampments, but it's still it's charming. Right?
It's no, charming is exactly the word. It looked, I had no idea it was that that European looking, and the stuff is just, it just looked really cool. How elaborate is that celebration?
It's incredible. It goes on for like an hour, and it's all different people have little boats and flotillas, and I mean, literally like just barges that people put together with, like, you know, just pieces of driftwood. And there's this old couple in the video. If you go to my Instagram, there's an old couple in a video, and they're singing Christmas songs.
Yeah.
But they've got their outboard motor is being run by one car battery, and the wind starts blowing, and they can't fight the wind. And so it starts drifting them down the wrong canal off the parade.
They just have little trolling motors then. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and right, and there's no way they're getting out of that.
It's got to be weird, that dichotomy, because you do talk about, you know, the homeless. I mean, obviously, if you're going to be homeless, you want to live there, as I think was observed a long time ago, but... So is it encroaching upon you in that area dramatically, or is it still, you know, at an arm's length?
It's, you know, it's everywhere, but it's always been a part of Venice. Like when you move to Venice, you got to do it with your eyes open. Like this is a bohemian, this is, you know, the Doors, and it was always a very, like, you know, indoor outdoor environment. And so you get all these yuppies that are moving in, and they're buying houses and tearing them down and putting up, like, you know, $3 million structures, and then immediately going, we've got to get rid of these homeless, as opposed to the people that have always left. You know, I've been here for 20 years, and it's more like, you know, how do we help the homeless?
Right. That's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Showing a sign of humanity. But so who's winning in this battle?
The homeless. because, you know, because, you know, we work in a soup kitchen on some Sundays, and we go in, and we wanted to volunteer. They're like, okay, great. Here's the shopping list, because you're going to serve for like 100 people.
Right.
But you have to buy all the food and serve it. And they're it's like a 3-course meal. They're like, oh no, you need like an appetizer.
Right.
I'm like, wait a minute. How about, like, so what happened to soup? Did it used to be a soup kitchen?
They were classically called soup kitchens.
Dessert? I don't eat dessert.
So what is the pot? Is it like pudding or is it creme brulee?
No, creme brulee. and they want you to torch it at their table.
Caramelized.
Well, you had some pretty heavy hitter neighbors. I don't know if you still have that roster in your neighborhood. You had, I think, were you close to Julia Roberts and or Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks? And do you still see them hanging around? Do they visit the soup kitchen as well? Or
yeah, right. Yeah. No, it's, as a matter of fact, Julia, who my wife used to work for, we were over at her house one day, and we're sitting there, and homeless people came by, and she had an orange tree, and they were leaning over her fence and picking all of her oranges to eat.
What?
she helped them. She started handing them over some other oranges. Yeah, it was very sweet.
You know, the phrase that always comes to mind is there, but for the grace of God, you know, so everyone can be in that position. And you know, we just had our big camp out for hunger charity, and it was, you know, 2.7 million pounds of food was raised. So people, this is
something. Wow, that's amazing.
It's something that resonates with people, and especially this time of year, but that's cool. Yeah. You go do that, you know, and go out and see that. So you just did a charity.
Yeah, it's great for the kids.
I'm sorry.
It's great for the kids because, like, you know, they grew up seeing, you know, I grew up Catholic, and, you know, it was like there was a lot of problems with it, but there is service.
Yes.
You know, you do take that from it.
What's the Best Buddies Fund? I've seen that mentioned, and I know you had a big comedy show with that.
Oh, yeah. God, you're making me sound really charitable.
Yes. I'm putting major tension to your rep. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
I do this benefit every year for the Best Buddies, which is a group that helps people with intellectual disabilities.
Yeah.
And so we threw a benefit this year, and it was, who do we have?
Yeah, Bill Burr.
Bill Burr, Bert Kreischer, Ron Funches. It was amazing. And the best part is there's a guy named Chris Tunney who has Asperger's, pretty severe Asperger's, and his father taught him to do stand up comedy.
Really?
And he's come on the show every year for 6 years now. And he crushes. He goes up and he does jokes about how he doesn't like the word Asperger's, and it's hysterical.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah. And this is an annual, or was this the first year for it?
No, this is the sixth year we've done.
Sixth year, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So since it's been a while, and I mean, we see you out and about and doing all this stuff. I know you're working on multiple things. Obviously, stand up the main fuel, but you obviously do a lot of writing as well. You're involved with a number of different shows. What is mainly occupying your time now outside of stand up? Besides your podcast, God, you do too much.
It is too much, and you know, it's like. It's for a guy who I consider myself lazy with ADHD, but then at the end of the year, I'm like, what did I do?
I mean, you have multiple, you have your own, you have, so there's the show, there's the there's Childish, which you host with Allison Rosen.
Right.
There's your own stuff. How many shows currently are you doing?
I'm doing Fitzdog Radio and Childish, and then I'm launching another one this year called The Sunday Papers, where me and another guy read the Sunday paper, and then we do jokes about it. I mean, look, it's podcasting.
Yeah.
It's not like you guys where, you guys are making millions of dollars over there, right? Hundreds of millions of dollars. And, you know, and the key is that, you know, you gotta wet your beak from these charities. You know,
yeah.
You get a little taste of that.
Right.
That helps. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Listen, we want a taste is what we say. So, yeah.
You know, you got.
It was like Paul Sorvino in Goodfellas. Where's my taste?
Here's my taste. it was busy. I was writing on, why am I forgetting the name of it? Crashing. For 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, it's 6 a.m. here in LA.
I know.
Yeah. We get up around noon, and so that was fun working with Judd Apatow and Pete Holmes, and we that was like relentless. That was like 14-hour days.
See, I enjoyed that movie or not
show.
Movie show. I meant show. I enjoyed that show because I love stand-up comedy and I love, you know, comedic shows, and I know that it had a lot of stand-ups that were writing for it. But I talked to other stand-ups about it, and it's not that they didn't like it, but they're like, oh, it's not like that. I'm like, well, I know it's not like that. I know that, like, you know, Sarah Silverman is not letting, you know, brand new comics crash on our couch or whatever. But, you know, there were some episodes that really stood out. I thought the Bill Burr episode was a brilliant episode, but I
wrote that one.
Did you really?
Of course you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a great episode, man. I really enjoyed it, so thank you for that.
Well, you know, I gotta say, like, Bill made me look good because I wrote a lot of stuff, and then he came on set and just completely riffed different stuff that was way better than what I wrote. So I got to thank him for that.
Go ahead.
But, you know, I got his voice because I spent some time in Boston doing stand-up. And that's where I first met him, yeah, you know, 30 years ago. And so I love writing in that angry Irish voice.
You guys are so similar, though, and I know you're best buds. And when you hang out, because they're obviously you both have wonderful sarcastic senses of humor. When you get together, do you engage in an activity to counter that? Does the sarcasm become too much? And do you knit? Do you what do you do? You know, because when you have someone who's very much like you and has that same sort of attitude, how do you tamp that down? Or do you just go hardcore the other way? Do you carry sarcasm to nuclear levels?
No, we go. Bill will call me up in the middle of the day, and I'll answer the phone, and he'll be like, "What are you doing, kid? I'm going down to the dunk, get some crullers." And we'll go back and forth screaming in a Boston accent for, my wife will just look at me. It'll go on for 20 minutes. And we don't say one normal thing. We don't ask, how are you doing? How are your kids? And then all of a sudden you just go, "All right, we'll see you, you queer." And just hang up the phone.
And that's it. And that's the friendship. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Like, so, yeah, hand. You guys get each other, which is cool.
Well, that's what's funny about comedians. It's like, you know, the best times of my life have been like in the back of comedy clubs. You know, like the Comedy Store is such a great hang in L.A. And it's like you stand in the back hallway and you're sitting there talking to Joe Rogan,
yeah,
busting each other's balls. And then, you know, Burr rolls in, or like, you know, Tony Hinchcliffe, and everybody's just like hanging out in the back. No, and then nobody ever goes, "Hey, let's all like get our wives and go to dinner." It's like, no, it's not going to get any better than this right here.
Right.
To me, that is insane. Like, we have to wait on a weekly basis to get one of those names at Helium, right? And so yeah, you're going to be that name at Helium next week. And so if I found myself in L.A., what night of the week do I need to go there to see 10 guys doing, you know, spots at that particular establishment?
Well, you don't want the weekends because everybody that's good is on the road.
Right. Yeah, you know? That's right. Mm.
So if you come in on a Monday or a Tuesday, you're going to see, you know, Sebastian, and you're going to see Tom Segura, and you're going to see Ali Wong, and, you know, Anthony Jeselnik.
Is like, it hard to get in?
Insane.
Is there a line around the corner, or is it like just walk in?
It usually sells out by the day of.
Okay.
So if you're coming, like, we got people that fly to L.A., it's almost like guys go to Bangkok for a sex tour.
Right. Come to LA, it's the like same thing. Tour. Wow. It's an interesting corollary.
They want to see young comedians, which is weird.
So we heard, and the legend, and I agree with, as with Casey, you know, we're all fans of the process and stand up and the whole thing and the lifestyle. And over the years, you've heard of that particular establishment and the legendary acts that would come in and sort of, okay, everyone gets bumped because this person's going on. They command the stage. Who is that person now when they come in? Who is the, you know, sort of the number one? The alpha dog, so to speak, beside you, of course.
Well, yeah, of course, I bump everybody. I just, it's people have a lot more respect now than they used to. So
yeah,
that actually doesn't happen very much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that there's a respect for the other comics. And so it's not like the old days where like a random Wayne brother would come in and do an hour in the middle of a show. Because like everybody has sets at, like, you might have a set at two or three different places in a night. And
right,
the schedule gets thrown, then you're screwed. So, no, it doesn't really happen. Not at the Comedy Store or the Improv, really, or the Laugh Factory. I think that might happen more in New York.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. You know, years ago when I was just for a brief period to stand up and you do open mic nights and there'd be 500 people waiting to do stuff. And it was not uncommon for comedians to be on at you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, 2:15 in the
right
morning. Just crazy. You know, but yeah. I guess that's part of the deal.
It's precious stage time. And you know what they have now is like there's so many people that started as doormen at the store, including Sam Kinison. That's where the tradition started. Hmm. And so they come in and they work as bouncers, or they work in the parking lot. And then what happens is, like, if somebody's late, they jump on stage and they get the spot because right. they're right there. And then a lot of times they start the show with the doorman doing a spot. And so that's become the tradition. Like, Marc Maron did it. Ari Shaffir did it. I wish I had the list. Somebody should write a book about it because it's pretty amazing.
Wow. Hey, I wanted to ask, Greg, because, you know, you'd mentioned, you know, that list of people and hanging out with people like Bill Burr and Joe Rogan when you guys are all together. But that to me, as just a non-comedy person, as a non-comedian working in that industry, would be so insanely intimidating to be around because I comedians to me are, you know, I pay, I go to the show, I laugh that way. I could never even hope to sit around and converse riff, with yeah. guys like you, because I would feel it's almost like the movie Rounders, you know, where he goes to Atlantic City and he's like, these people are just outmatched. That's all there is to yeah. it. They have yeah. no idea what they've walked into.
Right, right.
And what, but I'm curious, are for guys like you who are sharp as you and that company that you mentioned, are, do normal people intrigue you at all? You know what I mean? Because, or are we just kind of, you know, the material?
Meat suits.
Wow.
Material.
<know? laughs> Yeah, no, it's like, yeah, you're definitely, people get made fun of if they're like drunk and stupid.
Yeah.
But like that back hallway is also like people have to go to the bathroom and they walk past you. Mm-hmm. And so if they're like big fans, they'll ask for pictures and stuff. But no, I think comedians tend to be very curious people, and they're you'd be surprised how much they're listeners. Like Rogan will sit there and like really engage anybody that comes up to him, and he'll like go deep. He'll go deep and ask them about themselves. And he's, if you listen to his podcast, he'll have on like a nuclear physicist.
Yeah,
one
yeah.
day. And an MMA guy the next day, and he has the same level of curiosity, which I think is the reason why his podcast is so big, mm-hmm. is that he's ultimately just like a curious mind.
Yeah, you as well. And, you're a good interviewer. You can tell you have that genuine curiosity that makes it you know, work, because, and also you have to, I think, by your very nature as a comedian, be an observer of life.
Right, right, and I think it's something that works when you're on stage as a stand-up, because when you first start out and somebody heckles you, you have all these like lines up your sleeve that you can hit them with, right. you know. But then when you get good, you start to just listen to them and let the crowd listen to them and let them basically hang themselves.
You're so
and
right.
That's when you can really annihilate somebody. Oh my God, I was just in Atlantic City. Jesus, I was at, you know, Howie Mandel has
yeah.
a club there.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
At the Hard Rock.
Yeah.
And it's like a 1,500 seat theater. And they got me booked on a Monday through Thursday in December last week.
Right.
And I mean, it was there were tumbleweeds rolling through the showroom. There was nobody out there. Yeah. There was like 300 people sprinkled into a 1,500
wow.
seat theater.
Yeah.
But like consistently hecklers. And one guy sitting in the back, and I thought I was having a really good set, and then all in the middle of it he just screams, "You suck!" and I was like, "Wow, that's like an 80s heckler. That's an old school."
Yeah.
That
is an old school.
It.
Yeah.
Greg, there's a comedian who is local to Philly, her name's Mary Radzinski, and she was opening up for Maron on his latest tour, and she actually did our Camp Out for Hunger. We do a comedy night as well. When she was with Maron, she did some big venues, including the Merriam Theater here in Philadelphia. She ended up doing one of the casinos down in Atlantic City too, and she was telling me that the casino audience is particularly tough because it's just people who happen to be in the building at the time who may or may not want to go see a comedy show, and it's
oh, right.
It's just the you know, the blue
hairs. They probably
hairs.
Got the tickets for free through
exactly.
the casino because they lost so much money.
They got comped, and they're going to go see a show because it's something to do for an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's the worst place to do comedy. And then if you go to an Indian casino, like in Connecticut,
yeah.
add another layer of sadness because of the genocide.
So the air of genocide is still looms large at the Indian casinos?
The what?
The air of genocide still hangs in the air at the Indian casinos?
Yeah, and you can't really, make fun of it. Because,
no.
You know, you'll pack your bags and leave if you make fun of the Indians while you're staying there.
No, it would be very, very cruel. I have to ask you, because we did talk about the Venice holiday celebration and everything. What's Christmas like at the Fitzsimmons household? What goes on? Is it a classic Courier and Ives sort of thing, or are you? Is it artsy? How do you guys experience it?
Well, actually, the big Venice holiday for us was Thanksgiving. We just we do this thing where I throw a big soccer game at like 10 in the morning,
huh.
And we have about 40 or 50 people show up because we've been doing it for about 15 years. And everybody brings black and white T-shirts so we can split it up. And it's like Braveheart with a soccer ball. It's just insane.
Wow.
And then we all go back to our houses and we cook a meal, hang out with our families and friends, whoever comes over your house. And then we meet at the beach at like 8 o'clock at night. And we go screaming into the water, like 50 of us.
Like a polar plunge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Polar plunge, ride a couple waves. And then we go back to this one house where they've got an outdoor shower and a hot tub, and everybody brings desserts, and they make this giant, like, rum punch, and people just stay till, like, 2 in the morning and get wasted.
Dude, that sounds great.
Yeah, that's a great one.
So that's the big blog. Christmas is a little bit more sedate?
Christmas, we usually go to New York. This year we're going to go to Mammoth and do some skiing. There's tons of snow up there already. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
But that other celebration, was that your creation that you guys do?
The soccer part is, and then my friend Matt Malloy created the beach one. And this was when we first did it. We all had good bodies, so
we all did. There was a time,
yeah. People want to take group photos now, and it's like, no, that's not in my contract.
Nope, that's not happening anymore. I love it, man.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, listen. I just want to remind people the shows at Helium are Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the 27th, 28th, and 29th. Two shows Friday and Saturday.
They will sell out.
Yeah, and then one show on Sunday at 7:30. So you want to grab those. And I like that time. I'm always looking
it's perfect.
For some entertainment in between Thanksgiving. Or, I mean, between Christmas and New Year. So I'm sure you'll do wonderful.
It's literally my favorite week to do stand-up. It's always been a place where people are just in such a good mood.
Yep.
Such a relief that the holiday's over. And, yeah, so I'm looking forward to doing it. And it is like, it's my favorite club in the country. I love Helium.
Oh, nice, man.
And our buddy Jake Matera is going to be opening up for you. He just texted me. Jake used to intern here and is a great comedian. And he'll be your opener that week, Greg.
Well, I always like to know who's going to be selling my DVDs.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, he's good with money and he's honest,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. All right, Greg. Have a good Christmas, man. Enjoy your time when you get to Philly, all right?
All right. You guys are the best. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Greg Fitzsimmons. Yeah. Helium Comedy Club. He's awesome.
He is, yeah.
His shows. All right. We're going to take a break and we're going to give away. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
We have a Blu-ray combo pack of Rambo Last Blood to give to you. Caller number 12.
You're going to like it.
At 215-263-WMMR.
It has multiple formats, DVD, Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And you can stream it too.
That's correct. And Sly is back as one of the greatest action heroes of all time. Don't miss the last chapter of the legendary series available.
I foiled the wet bandits.
It's tomorrow, by the way, is when it's available. 215-263-WMMR, rated R from Lionsgate.
Steve, I saw it in the movie theater, and I had to check when I got home to see if it was produced by Blumhouse, because it's that bloody.
Oh, man, I love it. I cannot wait.
By the way, Sly must have been in town yesterday or the day before. He posted a video on social this morning of him standing in front of the Rocky statue.
Oh. So.
And he said something's coming in the next month or so. So they were filming something. I don't know what.
Yeah. We have to call in. Frank Stallone was here. Loved it. We know all the peripheral people around him. We've got to at some point get him in here.
Love to have him in. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Stand by because the B-File is up next.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right. Got some stories ready for you. Let's get to them.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Hers, introducing Hers' new mini cheese puffs. Size is relative, flavor isn't. Cheesy, mini, delicious. Hers. forever good.
Mm-hmm. 81 in a serving.
It's unbelievable. Hey, there's looking a lot like your mother, and then there's this. A 43-year-old man from Porto Velho, Brazil, decided to dress up as his 60-year-old mother so he could pass a driving test for her after she failed it three times. He did in full makeup, painted his nails, wore a floral blouse, even had his hair blow-dried into a feminine style, and he nearly fooled the person administering the driving test, but the plan backfired when his ID was double-checked. Many on social media have called the son's efforts noble, noting that he did it out of love, but he faces charges of identity fraud and attempting to deceive a government body.
When the guy administering the driving test goes into the bathroom and grandma's standing at the latrine next to him, how you doing?
A woman in Australia, this happened to her when she got home. She was checking out her Christmas tree, and apparently there was a 10-foot python wrapped up in
it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a wild way to decorate the tree.
Leanne Chapman and her husband returned to their home in Brisbane on Thursday and noticed a commotion on their balcony. She said, we came home from work, and there's a couple of butcher birds that visit every day, and they were just kicking off on the balcony, going crazy. So she started to video the birds, and her husband did, and leaning on the tree, not realizing what laid wrapped around it. As she turned around and stepped back, he didn't realize. She said he was leaning on the Christmas tree with the snake wrapped around it. The couple left the snake alone, and later that night, it slithered away.
Jeez.
She said it wasn't bothered by us. It just stayed there for a good few hours as we watched it through the window. It was only when the reptile moved from its position that the couple realized how big it was. She said it was big, really big. No word on where they saw the snake go to, but apparently it left the area.
Apparently a lot of Christmas trees will have praying mantis nests in them.
You know what? I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate those things.
I despise them.
Yeah. Three men dressed as the Grinch, Spider-Man, and Captain Marvel were busted in Rockefeller Center on Thursday, sending other costume characters dashing through the streets of Midtown amid fears of a possible cartoon crackdown.
Is the Grinch part of the Avengers?
No. Lower East Side resident Kat Sullivan said that she witnessed a group of minions hauling ass through the newly pedestrianized zone.
I would have loved to have seen that.
She said, I asked for a picture and they were like, sorry, lady, gotta go.
That doesn't sound like a minion.
She said that struck
minions gotta go.
She said that struck me as weird. The cause of the scattering minions became clear. Moments later, Sullivan stumbled onto a trio of spandex-clad characters in handcuffs. An NYPD spokesperson confirmed that three men identified only as the Grinch, Captain America, and Spider-Man. Oh, it's Captain America. Were issued summonses for disorderly conduct, and they're accused of blocking pedestrian traffic.
Oh, where's Annabelle?
Sullivan said that she thought that the handcuffs seemed like a bit much, but they had to cuff them. Yeah.
How do you do that with a minion?
A father has told how he was left terrified, and I saw the picture of this, it's hilarious, after he stumbled upon a t-shirt with a picture of his baby's face on it in the washing machine mid-cycle. So here's the deal.
Oh,
they have a front-loading washing machine with the glass, you know, on the front, and the baby's picture is on the t-shirt, and it's pressed up against the glass, looks like the baby is inside the washing machine.
I would have died.
The social media user, here's a picture of it, Case. The social media user shared a picture of the youngster's face pressed against the washing machine door, prompting other shocked users to take to the comments section. While one was so frightened by the image that they urged the warning to the post thumbnail, another insisted she was given a heart attack when she first saw the photo.
Jesus.
Some advised the father to make sure that he turns the shirts inside out next time he washes them. Well, there's loads of iguanas in Miami Beach.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of the lizards are invading home and public areas there, causing locals to refer to the area as Jurassic Park. The owner of a golf club in the area says that she spends hundreds of dollars each year trying to control the herd of invasive iguanas on the property. Florida officials say the iguanas can weigh up to 17 pounds and grow more than 5 feet in length. They've been present in Florida for the last six decades, and scientists believe they were first shipped as pets from their native habitats in the Caribbean and South America. And this time of year, they start passing out because it gets colder.
Yeah.
And they're cold-blooded, and they will fall out of trees. Like, you can hear thumping iguanas from time to time. And you got to be careful. But apparently they're really over the top.
I saw a video of a golf course, Preston, that was just covered with them.
Yeah, they haven't had any hard frosts in Florida in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And if they have a hard frost that lasts 2 or 3 days, it really helps to reduce the population. But because of global warming and climate change, they haven't had that.
Yep.
So this population has gotten infinitely worse.
Yep. All right, then one last story. The use of the word suicide has become cause for alarm when used in a school setting, and that's exactly what one teacher is being accused of. So there was a note that was left on the message board, and it said, "The owner of the next voice I hear is just asking to be named in my suicide note." Hmm. So this is a middle school teacher that posted it on her smart board during class. And according to an anonymous tip, the seventh grade teacher wrote the note threatening to add students' names to her suicide note if they spoke during class. For the students in the class, the message was more than just unprofessional. According to the anonymous tip, students were so spooked, a few of them ran out of the classroom screaming, and the teacher had apparently asked to be let out of her contract for mental health reasons, and she allegedly provided a supporting doctor's note stating that she was unsafe to her and her students, but administrators would not allow her out of her contract.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, come on now. So, anyhow... Obviously, the school district is trying to find a solution.
Oh, I know. I'm suicidal. I'm going to hurt the kids. Go back to class, you scamp.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file for now. All right, let's do a few more of these. We have the Christmas Miracle live broadcast coming up on Thursday. It is this week, and it is indeed a Christmas Miracle. And I would like to get 4 callers, starting with caller number 15. At 215-263-WMMR, so 15, 16, 17, and 18, we have your tickets to join us at the Christmas Miracle on Thursday at Parks Casino in Bensalem. Now, you can bring a friend, but only you will be qualified to end up on Contestants Row. So you need to know a thing or two about the show. Your friend can be a newbie if you want to bring them along, maybe turn them on to what our program is all about. And they can possibly win some stuff. They just can't get in the Christmas Miracle game. We're going to have a good time. You have to be at least 21 years of age. It is a casino that we'll be at. So 215-263-WMMR. We will take those callers now, and we will see you on Thursday if you get through. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. We'll see how closely you've been paying attention. The lesson question is up next. Got a bunch of actually really big news in the world of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. If you have not heard it yet, I will pass that information along to you when we get back. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
It's finally time to start firing up the grill. From city to shore, Acme has everything you need to prep for this summer season. From Lancaster brand meats to fresh cut fruits and vegetables, and even your favorite beer and wine. Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do the lesson question for today, and up for grabs... We have a 4-pack of tickets for the worst-case scenario survival experience now at the Franklin Institute. So the question that I think we're going to go with this morning is... Actor Roberts Blossom, who played the scary old man in Home Alone, was also a dancer in which more recent movie? 215-263-WMMR.
Oh, I thought he was a singer.
No!
She was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God!
He was a dancer. All right, so Roberts Blossom, who played the scary old man in the Home Alone, the first Home Alone, was also a dancer in which more recent movie? 215-263-WMMR. Light up those phones. Let's see if you can get through. Correct answer that we go to is going to win the prize. Meantime, we're going to do the trash. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3
WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, brought to you this morning by Patient First. Another Patient First difference. Urgent care that's open 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day of the year. 20 Eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey area medical centers. Learn more at patientfirst.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, breaking news from HollywoodLife.com. Sources confirming that Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis' children looked as if they were having fun at a playground on Saturday. A spokesman for the family would not commit to the word fun at this time, but did suggest that general frivolity had ensued.
Hey!
It was an actual article.
Yeah.
HollywoodLife.com.
Breaking news.
Kylie Jenner displaying her super toned new physique at multiple parties throughout the weekend. Kylie said she wanted to get in shape now before she has a child, and then was reminded that she does have a child. And finally, Wendy Williams' divorce from her husband of over 20 years, Kevin Hunter, has been very drawn out. Hunter is denying Williams' assertion that he's being childish, saying all he wants is custody of his tree fort. And that's your Hollywood track.
All right, TV cell, see if we can find the answer to this question. Actor Robert Blossom, who played the scary old man in Home Alone, was also a dancer in which more recent movie? And I will try Amy on the phone, see if she knows the answer. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
All right, so what movie was Robert Blossom's dancing in?
Magic Mike.
Magic Mike. Yeah. Hang on, Amy. We are going to set you up, Amy, with a 4-pack of tickets as the Philadelphia Wings face off.
Somebody's been practicing.
Yes, they have. They got their bell back after the camp out.
Oh, yeah.
I missed my bell.
All right. And they're facing off. The Wings are against Vancouver Warriors at the Wells Fargo Center for an exciting home opener on Friday, January 10th. Experience nonstop action, fun for the whole family, and enjoy dollar hot dogs. You can get tickets at wingslax.com. Let's do music news, shall we?
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, and it's brought to you by Delilah's Tinsel and Tassels. Delilah's Holiday Party next Wednesday, the 18th. Actually, that's this Wednesday. That's day after tomorrow. Featuring DJ June, the Delilah's Sexy Santa Contest, and more. Visit Delilah's.com for details. Fix that for me. Thank
you. I will fix that for you.
Red Hot Chili Peppers made a big announcement this weekend. They have parted ways with guitarist Josh Klinghoffer, and they have been rejoined by John Frusciante.
I never thought that would happen.
I thought they were done. Of course, his two previous stints in the group were marked by some of their biggest commercial successes. Klinghoffer was in the Chili Peppers for a decade, playing on the band's last two studio albums, 2011's I'm With You and 2016's The Getaway. In a statement, the group wrote, Red Hot Chili Peppers announced that we are parting ways with our guitarist of the past 10 years, Josh Klinghoffer. Josh is a beautiful musician who we respect and love. We are deeply grateful for our time with him and the countless gifts he shared with us. We also announced with great excitement and full hearts that John Frusciante is rejoining our group. Frusciante joined the Chili Peppers following the death of founding guitarist Hillel Slovak in 1988. First played on 1989's Mother's Milk and 1991's Blood Sugar Sex Magic, the two albums that marked the band's transition from struggling act to breakout stars. A heroin addiction took Frusciante out of action in 1993, but he rejoined the Peppers 6 years later, playing on 1999's massively successful Californication and 2002's By the Way. He left again after 2009's Stadium Arcadium, making some 14 studio LPs during an eclectic solo career. The Chili Peppers have reportedly been at work on a new album due out in 2020, although whether or not the band has been working with Frusciante already or will start fresh is not known at this time.
So he left, as you said, to go off, and he had obviously a virulent drug problem, got his act together, was doing a whole bunch of solo stuff. Then there was word he was not going to play music at all.
Yeah.
And here he is now back with the band.
Yeah. For a while there, he was recording stuff, but he was not going to sell it.
He
was to give it away and give it away
Give it away now.
But now, back with the band, and listen, it's the right group of guys to be together. They work so well musically.
It's a big sell, too, for a tour.
Yeah.
If you have that lineup back, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, if anything was kind of, if they felt any fall off, this will certainly reignite.
I think so.
Lots of ticket sales, so we'll see how that translates next year. Hopefully a tour next year. That'd be great. Five Finger Death Punch guitarist Jason Hook had to undergo surgery to have his gallbladder removed, forcing the band to postpone the last few dates of its current North American tour. According to TMZ, Hook had been experiencing pain that sent him to the emergency room twice, and it was during the third visit to the ER that doctors determined he needed his gallbladder removed due to blockage. His operation took place on Thursday night, just hours after the band was forced to postpone a show in Duluth, Minnesota. The band issued a statement saying that Hook will have to remain in the hospital Until his doctor determined he is fit to be discharged and travel home, Jason very much appreciates all the well wishes, they said, and rest assured, we'll see you back out on the road very soon.
My father had his gallbladder out, and you just sort of compensate with medication.
Yeah, my mom had it, too, and it was fairly routine.
Yeah.
So their eighth studio album, F8, is coming out on February 28th. Hailstorm guitarist Joe Hottinger has revealed in an interview with Guitar Bonito that the band has finished recording a new EP, although he did not want to divulge details about the disc. He said there'll be more information on that coming up. It's just getting mixed now, and it sounds awesome. It's something we've never really done before. Everyone's expecting a cover EP, but we're about to shake it up a little. Technically, it is a cover EP, and then he laughed and said, you'll find out. It's cool. In fact, Lizzie Hale had added, it's nothing like what you think. We can't really talk about it yet. We'll just have to wait and see. Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker has launched a new label called DTA Records, with the first offering being a track called Gimme Brain. That's a collaboration between Barker, Lil Wayne, and Rick Ross. Barker says the label will start out as an outlet for his own music, but the drummer plans to expand it in the future and develop up-and-coming artists.
Is this his first project with Lil?
Yeah, I don't know if they've worked together or not. He explained, I had a lot of new young talent coming to the studio over the last couple of years. DTA felt like it could be an opportunity to sign some of these artists myself and help them grow.
So is it proper to call Lil Wayne Lil, or do you have to always say Lil Wayne? Lil Wayne.
It's a good question. He's got to have a shortened version. I would imagine Wayne will
LW?
Probably just cut it. LW, something like that. And then finally, Green Day performed the classic Welcome to Paradise and the brand new Father of All on Thursday night at the 2019 Game Awards in Los Angeles. The band appeared alongside artists like Churches and Grimes. And following the performance, it was announced that a special DLC pack for the VR game Beat Saber was to be released featuring 6 Green Day tracks. I have Beat Saber.
You love it, right?
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's a la, Dance Revolution or the things that you have to do to a rhythmic beat.
I played a demo of it.
It is. I'm like, this is kind of stupid at first, and then I started getting caught up, and I'm like, this is really, really fun. I haven't played it in a while, but I do need to get back to that game. So, but the Green Day is going to be featured on some of those tracks, and that is what I have in music news for you this morning.
Nice.
We're going to take a break.
I'm
going to
give
back.
Away some beer, Preston.
Thank you.
We have a load of
All right,
it.
Let me give a couple of them away?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so I got some beer here for you. It's the Yards Variety Pack. We'll take callers 10, 11, 12, and I will give you cases of beer, 215-263-WMMR. Holidays are here, and it's time to get together with those you love or don't. You can bring cheer, bring beer. Yards Variety Pack, and you can find Yards Brewing Company's beers at Chambers 19 Bistro and Bar in Doylestown. You can also find them at Beer City in Quakertown, and you can also find them at
Annabelle's House.
At Annabelle's House. Black Powder Tavern in Wayne. So,
Lil Wayne.
Let's get you on board. We're going to take a break, come back in a second, get ready to wrap this whole thing up, and I'll tell you about the Word of the Week prize if you have not heard about it just yet. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dinosaur Pilo. Godsmack.
Under your scars, I pray. You're like a shooting star in the rain.
The Struts.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I do want to take this moment to thank our guest today, Mr. Greg Fitzsimmons, who is on to talk about his appearance coming up at Helium Comedy Club. He's coming in town next week, so it's not this coming Friday, but the following Friday, December 27th. And he'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. So wasn't able to pop by in studio because we won't be here. We'll be on vacation.
Yeah, things get cuckoo around vacation time.
Yeah.
It's just part of the deal.
Nice to hear from him, though. And definitely happy to get more people on board Christmas Miracle. I'm done with the giveaways for the day. Marissa said she had gave away a bunch over the weekend. She had 2 appearances where we were on location handing those out and said that they were very well attended. And people that went to Irish Pub yesterday, she's like, some people came in from Maryland.
Wow.
Just to try to win tickets to go to Christmas Miracle.
Well, that says everything about how highly coveted they are.
I love it. I love it. That was very cool. So let's see. Pierre Robert is here. How
good
are you,
day.
Sir? Did you have good a good
day.
Weekend?
Very good.
Excellent. Happy to hear that. Weather's supposed to turn at some point. It looks fine right now.
I have 70 degrees later this
70
afternoon.
Degrees.
Yeah.
No, balmy. No, it's not going that way. It's going the other way.
No, 71.
Okay.
Maximum.
All right.
No lower than 68.
Ah.
And
that's good news.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, it's beach weather.
Was it raining when he came in?
No. Is it supposed to be?
Yeah.
Snow rain. And rain this yeah. morning, yeah.
It's just rain and love.
Rain and love.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Okay.
So get your rain in order, sister. All right.
Said it all, man.
Throwing some attitude here.
I'm just trying to help.
I understand, man.
Yes.
You want to do the letter?
Yeah.
Okay. I sometimes don't know.
Yeah, no, just keep moving forward.
Sometimes in the you direction. Need to just help me along.
Here yeah, we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
M as in madness.
All right, and a pair of tickets to see the Struts on December 29th at the Fillmore and a signed copy of Young and Dangerous on vinyl. And we're also going to throw in a pair of tickets with meet and greet passes as WMMR presents Greta Van Fleet December 30th at the Met Philadelphia. Both shows sold out. You can get to both of them with some special bonuses like meet and greet.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
We'll give that away on Friday. You going to go to any of those shows?
Yeah, I'm hosting a couple of them.
Awesome.
I mean, it's almost every night from the 27th through the 31st.
Yeah.
With Government Mule, two nights with Greta, two nights with Struts, record companies, New Year's Eve at the TLA. It's a busy week.
Wow.
So it'll be fun.
All right. Excellent. What's up on your program today?
Well, I thank you, Preston.
Mm-hmm.
It will be... this is Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey? You're playing Mariah Carey today?
No, I realize what this is.
Okay.
I found a Mariah Carey mashup with Freddie Mercury on a Christmas song.
Oh.
See, now I heard one with Marilyn Manson.
I've heard that one, too.
It was pretty good.
It is pretty good.
Yeah, but I have not heard the Freddie Mercury. Okay.
So we may roll either of those out, either
nice.
The Marilyn or the Freddie. Or maybe one today and one tomorrow.
Love it.
To help Bill's blood pressure. And we also have Workforce Blocks of ZZ Top. Billy Gibbons got a birthday today. We've got Jimi Hendrix. And we will do a block of Christmas songs every day in the Workforce Blocks right on through.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Pierre. I'm going to thank our sponsors. The program today brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, fastest way in and out of Philly International. And also by Wilmington University. Experience the WilmU difference by visiting wilmu.edu. Tomorrow morning on the program, there's a good chance we might have Josh Gad on.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
From Frozen and Book of Mormon and countless other things.
Yep. So we'll see if we end up doing that tomorrow. So we should have that. And, of course, Christmas Miracle stuff and... who knows what else? Barn door. All right, that is it. Yeah. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Those stupid sons of bitches who put the traffic lights in Bristol. What the were you thinking? It took me an hour and a half to get from Ben Salem to Bristol. It's a 7-mile ride. I understand traffic's bad, but did you have to make it that much worse?
Next message.
Let's go, Bears, baby! I don't even have a I remember this numbers, but somehow when I was drunk, I remembered it, and I called it. And here I am, baby! Let's go, Bears! Woo!
Next message.
It's beginning to look like a nightmare out here! Motherfucker! Don't know how to drive! Go the f*** home!
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less!